Everybody, it's the Wednesday show in the deals in the d.com studios, and the Wednesday show, of course, is the Drew and Mike show. Here we go again, and being that it's every other Wednesday, Carl from Who Are These Podcasts will be along shortly to tell us about the latest and greatest in the world of podcasting, or the not so greatest. Brandon and Mark also in the house, and Facebook Live is brought to you by Emergency Response Systems Incorporated. Water's everywhere in your home, leaky sink, washing machine, behind the fridge, under the dishwasher. Keep an eye out for water in your home, not just floods, but if you do have water or a flood, you might be concerned about mold afterwards, or even mold for any God knows what reason. And if that's the case, call 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. Also, fire damage, storm damage, COVID. Yes, emergency vehicles, businesses. I think they can do the COVID thing anywhere. Visit 877-JOB-DONE.com or call 877-JOB-DONE for Emergency Response Services Incorporated. And the Hall Financial Hotline and Zoom line, busy today as Hall Financial. I must get two emails a week. I'm dead serious. From people who have refinanced their homes and saved gobs of money thanks to Hall Financial. Call 248-308-5000. What's available for the Hall Financial Hotline today? We have some goodies, don't we?
Well, you also said it was the Zoom line because Carl's
Carl is on the Hall Financial Zoom line. By the way, are we
going to charge him more for the Zoom line too?
Yeah, I was thinking
separate that into its own sponsorship.
After listening to WATP, who are these podcasts? Yeah. Eric Zane seems to sponsor virtually everything in his show. Every different is every stream sponsored by someone else? Carl?
Yeah, he's got Twitter, Periscope stream. He's got a YouTube. He's got a Facebook, and each one has its own sponsor.
Lucky.
I was a little jealous. He had more ads. If you watch his live stream, he's got more ads behind him than we do.
Behind him?
Yeah, like little, you know, I got...
We've got Deals in a D. Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Boy, Eric Zane made Who Are These Podcasts? How about that? Eric is, of course, formerly from Free Beer and Hot Wings. And he was let go about 5 years ago, worked for another station, and now he does a podcast. He has for quite some time and seems to be heavily sponsored, speaking of Hall Financial. Low rates mean value. If you're on the market for that new home, remember, Hall Financial Service is the fastest in the business. Get your mortgage in half the time of their competitors. With Hall Financial, virtual appraisals can be done without someone setting foot inside your home. Call 248-308-5000 or go to davidhallmortgage.com/drewandmike, MLS number 1467435.
Just realized something. It probably would behoove us to put the Facebook Live on the Drew and Mike page, not my own personal page.
Is this a sponsorship opportunity?
For my own personal page? I'll take it.
I mean,
You blew it!
I just wasn't sure why.
Well, no, I'm like, how come there's like nobody watching? And I'm like, oh, it's on my personal page.
There's no one watching Facebook Live?
Because it was on my personal page, not the show page. Oh. Believe it or not, the show's a little more popular than my personal page.
I see. So that was
just Loser! Loser! Loser!
Just a little snafu. Okay, so also for the Hall Financial Hotline and Zoom line, we talked about the guy with the mobile bowling lanes, which is possibly the coolest thing I've ever heard of. And
luxury strike bowling.
Did you talk to him, Brandon?
I did. I talked to Terrence. He's got a big old semi that's got two bowling lanes. You can just have it come right to your party. It's going to be sweet.
Did you negotiate him coming over for the show?
At the moment, I have not, no.
Okay. I wonder how much space that would take up in Drayton.
It would take up a lot. This is a big truck.
I mean, couldn't you just park? Could he just park in front of a house on a normal street, or is that too much space?
There's question number one, but why not? Why can't he?
Well, he'd probably block a driveway or two.
Well, that's okay. We can work that out. I'm just wondering how big that thing is, because it looks big. It's two bowling lanes. Man, it looks like fun, too. And what's his name?
Terrence.
Terrence. Okay. I mean, this is really cool. I mean, the technology is really cool. There's a space above. You can watch. And I think there's open carry up there, too. Just like in the state capitol, you can open carry in the area above the legislators.
Why not?
So
I just don't you picture like two guys getting in a fight over because one guy claiming it's not level. It's parked on a curb
over the line.
Yeah.
Well, those are all
about everything.
Those are important questions. I don't know. I just wonder what this guy's 34 years old. I'm wondering what other ventures he's been involved
in. He's an idea man.
He is, obviously. Anyway, I'm excited about that. Then we have another number for what else do we have?
The Utah hiker.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, I just totally stole your thunder, Brandon. Go ahead, tell the whole story.
Oh no, I was just wondering. I didn't know if you'd seen the video that's gone viral of the cougar that's chasing the dude through Utah, and he's filming it as he's walking away, swearing at it. I guess he followed him for 6 miles after he stumbled upon the cougar's cubs, and one of our listeners actually reached out to him on Facebook and gave us his phone number. So,
wow, I love this. Listeners setting up interviews.
I know, it's great, isn't it?
It's so cool.
Somebody is claiming that they would have beat that cougar up.
Righteous Rick?
No, someone on the Zoom right now claims that they would.
It was a little thin.
Oh, me? Yeah,
Brandon thinks he would have taken
that cougar, dude. Oh,
shit.
No, screw that. Look, I know it's a big cat, but this isn't lions. This isn't tigers. This isn't a panther. That cougar, though, it did look vicious and did a lot of the, you know, they have that quick little. That might have cut me, but I'm fully confident if I had to get into a fight to the death with that cougar, I'd have fucking killed it.
You think you'd come out of that alive? I kind of think I would, too.
No, you wouldn't. Neither one of you
would. I would beat that cougar's ass. I mean, trust me, I would be cut up. I would probably need to go to the hospital, yeah, but I would win in a fight. And that guy that was filming it in Utah, he kept saying, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Not me.
I'm going to say the over-under on stitches for me would be 45 stitches, but I'd come out
over.
Of it alive.
I'll take the over.
And now I've really well. Mm-hmm. If you get one good swipe in, maybe it would hit the over. But I took the advice that it was given during the story. They said three things you need to know if you run into a mountain lion or anything like this. One is don't turn your back, which this guy did turn his back briefly, and that's when started to pounce. Which tells me, isn't that kind of a pussy move?
To turn your back?
No, on the part of the mountain lion.
Oh, it's just good fighting. It's good fighting technique.
Oh, it's not tough enough to take you on one-on-one?
I just know if I was...
Queen of Marksbury rules.
Queen of Marksbury. I just know if I was going backwards, I'd trip and fall, and then it would pounce on me and eat my face off.
So, mountain lions, apparently they know what eyes are.
Yeah, totally. All animals do.
I mean...
Just like how a chimpanzee will rip your sack off and then your face...
Did you guys all feel comfortable before today's activities that mountain lions knew what eyes were? Did you feel you all knew that?
Well, don't
really?
Don't all animals know what eyes?
You make eye contact.
I sort of think
like
so.
The animal is staring at your groin or something. They look right at your eyeball.
I mean, I have eyes, so I would know what eyes are.
Well, I know, but animals, you know, a lot of them they don't want to take a shit outside. They'll do it in your house. They'll do it in your bed. I mean, if they don't know that, how do they know where eyes are? Who has eyes and where they are?
I feel like you're bringing your own baggage to this conversation here, Drew.
No problem.
It's pretty much my favorite animal.
Oh, Mags and Layla were so good. They were very well house trained. But also, they said make noise to scare it.
Yeah.
And then the third one, I don't
make
know.
Make noise.
I always thought kind of just chilling was the best thing to do. Just like, hey, nothing going on here. But apparently you're supposed to make noise. He threw a rock at it.
You're supposed to make yourself big.
That was the third piece of advice is make
Fuck
yourself.
Cats.
How do you make yourself bigger?
Like this.
No, you're still the same size.
Oh, you
put
your arms
up. You put your arms up and shit.
Well, how stupid is this animal?
Puff your cheeks
chest out.
Hey, he's bigger than I thought. Aren't you the same size as when it first saw you? So they can tell that you have eyes.
Well, they can make themselves
they can't,
bigger.
But they can't tell that you're making yourself bigger than you are.
Michael on Facebook Live says that, Brandon, you would lose to a 55-year-old lady cougar. I'm just saying.
That's not true. It's
I'm
a poor
saying.
Joke.
It is, it's a little easy joke.
Reddit.
I want to welcome people who are in line with us. Can you please send me a before and after picture of you making yourself look large? Because I want to see what it looks like. I mean, it's just weird when they give advice and they don't explain it because I don't know a lot of people who, you know, what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to go out, I'm going to make myself a little bigger than normal and hopefully meet some chicks.
soak yourself in salt water and see if you plump up.
Well, it smells like a cat feces.
So
another commenter wants to know if Brandon needs more pillows.
Yeah, Jesus, Brandon. What is
that? Background is a couch.
How many pillows does one couch need?
Is that seven pillows on that couch? Throw pillows.
And there's a banky.
Well, I have a wife who likes to decorate couches with pillows. That way I can't sit on them. And what can you do? I don't know. When I want to sit down, I just push them. The blankies for little Madeline.
It's an awful big blanket for Madeline.
Yeah, I know. I overindulge.
Okay. We're going to get to Who Are These Podcasts and Carl with his feature in just a moment. But first, I want to mention our friends at Zot, Ford, and Holly, our oldest and possibly most loyal sponsor in this podcast world. Things have been crazy since back in the day when crazy actually meant something. Quoting Charles Manson, it appears the whole world has officially gone crazy, and I just can't stop talking about it. Not to mention our friends in Zot, Ford, and Holly, who are still crazy. Anthony Gabara and the hottest staff, sales staff in Oakland County. I mean, it tells you how crazy they are that they still refer to their hot sales staff as the hottest in Oakland County. They want to let the baby have his bottle, so here are a few of Zot Ford's craziest deals of the year. So, Brandon, listen carefully. Lease a new loaded 2020 Ford Edge SEL all-wheel drive as low as $177 a month, or get to Zot Ford, lease the SUV everyone's talking about, the all-new 2020 Ford Explorer XLT four-wheel drive as low as $212 a month. Finally, lease the toughest truck on the road, the new 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4, as low as $199 a month. And if the Explorer is the most talked about, then what is the Ford Bronco? Because it seems like the Ford Bronco is getting a lot of chitter-chatter.
The most teased about.
They will have the highly anticipated Ford Bronco Sport in stock and ready for immediate delivery any day now. Stay tuned, because first, Mark may be rolling around in a Zot Ford Bronco.
I already put my deposit down.
Looking for adventure? Possibly carrying prizes around? Or merch?
Really?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Now you're adding things for me.
Well, I don't know. What kind of craziness are we talking about?
I don't know. Maybe I'll just Uber.
Some kind of adventures. We'll see. Give Anthony a call or get details at dealsinad.com. Say hi to Gabar if you're over there. And don't forget our friends at the Yaldo Eye Center, where people are getting LASIK and multifocal lens replacement. Life-changing eye surgeries that will pay for themselves when you dump the glasses that you have to get new prescriptions every 2 or 3 years to stay in style, and all those contacts and all that fluid and those containers and all that BS. Every time I leave and I love Roland Optical, but honestly, every time I leave, there's a bag full of all the stuff need for my contacts and glasses. It's crazy. So they're offering $1,500 off the regular price, and it seems a lot of people want to get LASIK, but it's about the money, or I got to set some money aside.
Just do it.
So here's an opportunity for you to save money and improve yourself physically, which is so hard to do as you grow older. Get a free evaluation. Call 800-398-EYES or go to yaldoeyecenter.com and tell them you want the Drew and Mike discount. And, hey, do we have an open? Shouldn't we have an open of some kind for Carl?
Sure.
Who are you? Carl, any thoughts?
Carl! Good to see you!
Is there a song that would just introduce you?
Is there a Mullitude song we can use?
Oh, Mullitude! Yeah, I forgot! Carl was in a band called Mullitude. That was a new disclosure. I love that name.
It was an 80s hair metal band, and we all dressed up with wigs on, and we went full on out 80s hair metal. My current wife was in that band with me.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
What does she play?
She's a singer.
So are you going to tell us that you hit on a band member?
She sounds hot.
How else do you meet girls? I don't know.
Well, in the band? Is that when you guys got together?
I used to date a girl who was a go-go dancer in my band, and then I married a girl who sang in my band.
She sounds hot.
Wow.
Okay, so
she sang in the band first.
No, this is two different people I'm talking about.
Wait, you had a go-go dancer who just go-go danced during the show?
That's in my band, the Isotopes. Yeah, we have go-go dancers.
Really?
Who dance during the show, yeah.
When did this band start doing this?
The Isotopes are coming up on their 20th anniversary next year. That's, so is that, I'm dating myself.
Was that pre-Kid Rock go-go dancers?
Probably. Around the same time. Yeah.
What encouraged you to do that? What did you see something? Was it just an idea out of the sky? Because I remember when Kid Rock started doing that. I thought, man, that's so cool.
Well, we started as a surf 60s surf rock band, like The Ventures and Dick Dale and stuff like that. So the Go-Go Dancers were a big part of that scene.
Okay.
There's actual audio of Carl talking to the other bandmates, ones he didn't nail.
Who would you rather nail? I disqualify myself because I done them both.
How about that?
Thank you, Marie.
Carl got the Go-Go Dancer and his wife. What did your wife play? She just sang?
Yeah, she's a lead singer, yep.
No kidding. Okay, so Mullitude, what was the other band's name?
The Isotopes. The Isotopes are still going. Mullitude is now defunct.
When's the last gig Isotopes had?
We actually just got to play at a local comedy club a few weeks ago, because in New York State, they've shut down all things that are fun, including comedy, music, stripping. Anything you want to go do, you can't do it now. But we had some workaround. We pretended that you paid $10 to get pizza, and it was really shitty pizza. And then there just incidentally happened to be a live rock band there.
Now, how did you do? How was the crowd?
The crowd was great. We sold out because it was 50% capacity, so it made it a little bit easier.
Well, how many people is 50% capacity?
100 or 120 or so.
With the Isotopes, do they travel? Is there any possibility of a Michigan gig?
We don't typically travel because people have families and responsibilities, but we would love to go on the road and hit some spots outside of Rochester.
I'd like to see you play a concert sometime.
I think the Magic Bag would be a cool gig, wouldn't it be, for a blowout?
I do not want him coming out on stage unless he's hard.
Absolutely not. Of course not.
I would go anywhere where live music is legal at this point, because it's been very frustrating living in New York State. I'm sure Michigan's no better, but it's been very frustrating.
As someone who critiques podcasts on a regular basis, would you feel comfortable being promoted to our audience to play at a gig?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, the Isotopes, you think they'd get over?
The Isotopes win people over very quickly and easily because we are a spectacle. We have go-go dancers. We have effects on stage, a light show.
What?
It's a big production.
We do it up. It's not just a typical
show. This for all the dudes on the stage. All y'all gay.
It sounds like the perfect act for Drewapalooza.
Yeah, Drewapalooza.
Drewfest.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Drewapalooza Stockfest, yeah.
And what would be, let's just pick out five or six songs that would typically be in the playlist.
Well, we typically close with Frankenstein. Winter. So, like I said, we started as a surf band, but now we kind of do lots of different styles of music. We do swing music, and we do rock. We do everything instrumentally. There's no lead singer.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah, wait, it's all instrumental music.
Carl, how are you going to win the crowd over here with no singer?
I know. You would think that people would be turned on by that, but we do things like Black Betty, and I play all the vocal leads on guitar. So you still get the vocal leads. Sometimes people sing along. We do Take On Me by Aha. People start singing along to the chorus, even though no one's
singing.
Name
one other band that's done that.
Right. Exactly.
I see an audition for singers at this gig.
That's really
Could
great.
That be fun? Have you ever done that?
I'm hooked, though. I kind of want to see him play.
If only you knew a singer.
Yeah, exactly, Carl. Why can't she sing?
We don't want a singer. It's supposed to be an instrumental band.
You just don't want your wife at band practice.
Yeah. I was just going to hit on the other members.
I don't know if I don't know if I appreciate this hook at all. The band with no singer. Is your guitar playing so good that it's better than any lead singer possibly ever?
Well, it's less of a pain in the ass, that's for sure. I don't know if you've ever dealt with lead singers before, but it's not fun.
Especially when you marry them.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so Carl.
You've never liked an instrumental band before? You don't like Dick Dale or The Ventures or something like that?
No, I do appreciate them, but as far as like over and over and over and over, like night after night, I think if I was in the band, I would get bored because I would want a singer. I mean, even Gary Hoey started singing.
Yeah.
Are you a Hoey fan?
Oh, yeah, we actually do. What was that cover that he did?
Hocus Pocus?
Yes, we actually cover Hocus Pocus. We do it in the Gary Hoey style. Yeah.
Very cool.
I think it might be frustrating, especially when you know the words to the song and there's no singer there to sing it. Just the guitar.
Well, we may have to find out. And of course, Carl would certainly be open to critiquing since that's his gig. And in fact, Who Are These Podcasts this past week had a Michigander that we all know.
Yep.
Eric Zane. How did Eric Zane get on the radar of Who Are These Podcasts?
So he pretends like it just happened out of nowhere, but he found us first, emailed me back in July and said, "Hey, by the way, I have my own show," sent me a timestamp of when he talked about us. And very much invited himself to be critiqued.
Really?
And because we're doing Jocktober this month, we're doing all radio shows this month. Oh. I had another one of his listeners reach out to me and say, you should do the Eric Zane show. And I realized that, oh, Eric had already reached out to me. So I said, Eric, great, let's do it. And that's why he got on our radar.
Okay, and you went on Eric's podcast today. He does a five-day-a-week show. Eric worked at WRIF, for those who remember.
Spring of 98 to fall of 98.
Yes.
Your surgery.
Exactly. It was quite a while. Mm-hmm. And Sonny,
those were crazy times.
I'm not sure those are Eric's favorite. I'm not sure that's his favorite year on the radio, to be honest.
Didn't mention it.
But
I went on Eric's show this morning and talked about you guys and how well you've transitioned from radio to podcasting, and he had very nice things to say about you.
Well, no, I can't say anything bad about Eric either. I just don't think it was his favorite year. But I like Eric, and I've met him, and we've chit-chatted, and he seemed like a good guy. Now, he's doing a daily podcast, much like we are, about 2 hours a day, correct?
Oh, yeah, over 2 hours a day, because he also does a Patreon-only show after his regular show.
Hmm. God, that's amazing.
Doing it all by himself.
And by the way, interesting that Kevin and Bean, the Los Angeles show, 30 years, probably had the biggest QM audience, which is the radio, the size, like the individual listeners, probably had one of the biggest QM audiences in the United States of America for 30 years, and they were put in the Hall of Fame, and then Bean retired, quote-unquote, moved back to the UK where he's lived before. Kevin stayed with the show. 4 months later, COVID hits, and boom, Kevin blown out without Bean. Well, now Bean is doing a podcast with Allie McKay, who was she the news person on the show?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anybody know?
No, no one knows. No.
I assume she was because she does a morning. She does morning TV for KTLA out there. So she's a big name. I looked her up. She's got 58,000 Twitter followers or something like that. She's very pretty too. And I thought it was weird that Bean was doing the show without Kevin, but rather with Allie. And Carl said, well, good sign. They got 2,000 Patreon followers right away, correct?
Yeah, I mean, they just signed up for it less than a day ago, and they already have 2,000 people. They only have one episode out, and they already have 2,000 followers.
That's pretty good.
It's
but
only
that's
behind the paywall, though. So it's called Cup of Tea and a Chat. It's 3 days a week, and you can only hear it if you sign up for their Patreon between $3 and $20 a month.
Shouldn't they give you one free show?
Something for free, yeah.
I mean,
also, I thought it was strange that they went straight to Patreon, considering their audience is probably a little bit older. They're probably less savvy. They should have just set up their own thing and not shared the money with Patreon, you would think. They have the audience.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, that show probably had over a million listeners.
What is Patreon?
Loyal.
What is Patreon's cut?
Patreon takes 8%, and then there's this other 8% fee for processing, so it's 16%.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what they take from me anyway.
Well, what's the advantage to Patreon as opposed to, you know, we have a donate bar. And in fact, I want to thank those people that do hit our donate bar. And also, it's Amazon people. It was Amazon Prime Day yesterday.
Still is.
Hopefully, a lot of people.
And tomorrow, yeah.
If you go through Amazon, we get 8% of that, which is fantastic because it costs us nothing. But our people that are on the donate bar, they go to PayPal, right?
Yeah, they would, and that's I think that's kind of
3%.
That's what Carl was hitting at is like, why would the Kevin and Bean offshoot go to Patreon when they can do it themselves and get, you know, PayPal just takes a regular kind of percentage cut that a lot of the online processing.
Well, I understand the PayPal cut. I don't like it, but
you have to though. They're bank. All of them are banks.
I get it, but why would they choose Patreon over PayPal? What's the advantage of Patreon? I don't even get it.
Well, I'll tell you what. The reason why I'm on Patreon is because it sets up very easily to do a subscription model. So anyone who signs up to the show automatically subscribes monthly, and Patreon takes care of all that for you. People already have an account with Patreon, so they already have their information in there, and they can just sign up for more and more shows as they see fit. And then the other advantage is that they do set up your own RSS.
Yeah.
So if you sign up for our Patreon, Who Are These Podcasts, whatever podcast player you like to use, you can connect it so that you get all of our bonus episodes right in your regular podcast, but you don't have to go to another app or somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, the bonus episode. That's scam, right?
Scam? Our bonus episodes are amazing. Patreon.com/youarethesepodcasts.
Is that really that hard to set up, though, the bonus episodes? I mean, couldn't somebody do that without Patreon?
You can, but it's a lot easier.
Sure.
I mean, it depends.
Well, for 13% extra, I hope it is. Yeah. Hope it's hard to do. Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, so 2,000 people, and Carl was kind of impressed by that, but I was thinking 2,000 people, $3, that's like $6,000 a month for that big ass show three times a week, it just didn't seem that impressive. Right. I even said we could get 2,000 people day one on Patreon. We have never done it. But I'm just saying, if we put the show behind a paywall in 2016, I believe we would have had more than 2,000 people.
I'll put this in perspective for you so you know where I'm coming from. Stuttering John Melendez from the Howard Stern Show created the Patreon last week. He has 7 patrons on Patreon. So when I see 2,000, I'm like, hey, these guys are doing pretty well. Not bad.
Oh, my goodness. What is the cost of that to be on Stuttering John's?
Oh, Stuttering John ranges from 5 to 20, I think.
Oh, boy. Okay, poor Stuttering John. Are you going to play a Stuttering John clip one of these days on our show? Because his clips are hilarious. Sure. Okay, so Eric Zane, you do the Eric Zane Show. And this led me to thinking about, we had a conversation today, Mark and I did, about Free Beer and Hot Wings, which is the show he was fired from in 2015, which is an immensely successful show. Full disclosure, my nephew is Joe, who's the third person in the show, essentially sort of bumped up into Eric's spot. And it's all worked out fantastic. And Joe,
we love you, Joe!
Joe's a phenomenal story. I mean, if you knew where Joey was coming from and where he is now, you go, wow, that is fantastic, and I'm really happy for him. But we can't help talking about the name of the show every time it comes up, and Mark had a great idea. Mark said they should be the show that used to be.
Yeah, just
would you
be,
say
that? Just be Greg and I can't remember the other guy's name. Greg and let's say Greg and Joe, the show formerly known as Free Beer and Hot Wings.
Yeah,
And then make fun of it and talk about it.
Exactly,
but unless they actually like the name.
Well, which I cannot believe that they like the name, because Free Beer and Hot Wings might sound cool when you're 25, but it starts sounding sillier and sillier. And I keep I think I used to say this to Joe all the time. I've stopped because I know it probably is annoying as hell. I go, why don't they change the name and just use their names? It's not like the audience is going to go, oh, it's not Free Beer and Hot Wings. I'm not listening anymore.
But everybody, maybe there's a lot of people that don't listen that know that show because of the name.
They would think that's a great name.
So they're going to come to the show because it's still called Free Beer and Hot Wings?
I mean, in typical radio fashion, they could really string that out over a whole...
what I said.
Over a whole book.
No, that could be a lot of fun to call
to
it the show
it.
That used to be Free Beer and Hot Wings. And then if let's just say their names don't work out, then you go, we're Free Beer and Hot Wings again.
Yeah.
And who cares? And it's something you laugh about, and it's part of your story down the road, and it's not a big deal.
Sure, you're missing the...
What story?
The obvious corny radio thing to do is to stun it, and what name should we be next? And take guesses from the audience, and then they're going to be stuck with an equally bad
thing. There's all that. But, I feel a little weird talking about this.
Phone
because
lines are going crazy!
Being in a show that still has the name of my deceased partner, Mike Clark... I don't mean to be too hard on them. I just feel like they've got to want to change that name. They have to. They can't like that anymore, can
the
they?
The greatest part about it, and your audience knows about this, but the guy's nicknames are Free Beer, and the other guy's nickname is Hot Wings, which makes it even lamer. I thought it was just a show called Free Beer and Hot Wings. I didn't realize that was the names of the hosts.
Yeah,
Greg and Chris.
Wait, they don't call each other, like, Free and Hot, do they? Don't they call each other by their real name?
They do.
I think they do.
They do?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he has that. He has the one bit, what Hot Wings thinks. And I like that show.
No, I like the show too. Well, of course I like the show. Joe's on it. But, I mean, it's a good show. It's been very successful. They dominate Western Michigan, and they're in 28 or 30 other markets. So it's gone really well for them. But anyway, just a thought. And, Carl, don't start thinking about putting Free Beer and Hot Wings on. Who are these podcasts?
I've already made a note over here. Uh-oh. Too late.
Anyone can take a cheap shot at their name, but come on.
Once it goes on the calendar, it's hard to erase it.
My sister would never forgive me. This week we had some ideas. One was Pitbull's podcast. And did you get into Pitbull's content? Did you listen to it?
Yeah, Pitbull has a podcast out. It's called From Negative to Positive Podcast with Pitbull. It's on Podcast One. One of the things that I love about these celebrities that get podcasts, and Drew, I'm sure you appreciate this.
Yes.
Episode one, sponsored by State Farm, Talkspace, and Pepsi.
Jesus.
Well, okay, so Pepsi has sponsored, I think, Pitbull since.
Sure.
They've always been a big spot, but
it could be value added to the Pepsi sponsorship deal.
Yeah.
But which is okay.
State Farm, do they just sponsor every new celebrity podcast that's out there?
Seems that way, doesn't it? I wonder if anybody is really looking at the audience. And I don't know, maybe a lot of people listen to this. First of all, what is it, from negative to positive?
Yeah,
that's
apparently
that's worse than Freebird Hot Wings by a lot.
Apparently, Pitbull's whole story, because he came here from Cuba, is everything in his life was stacked against him, and he turned it all into a positive. And that's the message he's trying to get across.
Now, what's the mechanics of the show? Is he the host? It's just him? There's no other nobody else with him?
No.
Oh, no. It's him with White Shadow and Jenny V and some DJ who misses every drop. He's supposed to hit drops, and he misses it every time. Oh, well,
that's not that funny.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Carl, I listened to it, and I didn't even realize there were other people because he had Flo Rida on. And
it was his first guest.
It was pretty much them talking about how great their world is and how incredible it is that they, against all odds, have made it to this wonderful place. And I would have gotten – I did get kind of annoyed listening to that for a while. But anyway, did you bring a clip from those guys?
Yeah, so I bet you noticed that our friend Pitbull can talk.
Oh,
he
has
no problem talking.
Yes.
So – now, what you did when you brought me on today, Drew, is you said, we have Carl from WATP. He's going to be on a little bit later, which made it clear that we're not talking to him yet, but he is here in studio. What Pitbull does is he introduces Flo Rida and then talks for 3 minutes before he asks him a question, which makes it really uncomfortable. What I did with the audio here is I sped it up so you have to listen the entire 3 minutes, but I had to put it all in there so you get a sense for it on my track number one.
Flo to the Rida.
Thanks for having me, my brother. You know, family all day.
Let me tell you, man, it's truly a pleasure. And a lot of people understand that we've been very, very blessed to go from Joe Friday, Kenny, and everything that we've learned here and take it around the world. And I think a lot of people, everybody we come around, it might be another pot. You meet a lot of different cultures. And you see how some of you are, how different you are. And you take that and take it around the world. So I tell a lot of people in the internet that tell me, and so who you really see around the world like that? I know it sounds crazy, and it might sound like I'm hosting, but flow. I see flow right everywhere. In Japan, in Mexico, if not in Abu Dhabi, Saudi Arabia, I mean, so to be able to be here in the around the world, I'm going to trust you all to go to the world. And then the whole country,
what is he talking about? Is he talking about himself or just how great Flo Rida is?
Oh, he's not talking about Flo Rida at all.
Oh, so it's just how great he is.
Like how long does he sped up version last?
It's almost done. Like he's talking about going from negative to positive.
Really sure we're not listening to regular speed?
How does it feel, dog?
Man, it's like so surreal. You know, just
great question.
After 3 minutes, he goes, "You've had 10 albums out. How does it feel, dog?"
Matt Jennings called him the Dr. Phil nemesis. Because Phil's such a slow talker.
He does talk really fast. I'm trying to remember did you listen to the commercials, Carl?
Of course, yeah.
It seems to me there's some poorly worded commercials. He does them all, and, you know, I respect him for doing that, but it seems to me there was some kind of questionable things in the commercials themselves.
Oh, really?
Just not
terribly. I don't remember that, but he was talking about Talkspace, and that's
Thank you. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Explain
Talkspace. Talkspace is if you want to have a shrink, but you don't want to actually meet someone face to face. You just want to text with somebody. And I was blown away by the promo code was $100 off your first month. I was like, whoa, how expensive is this Talkspace?
Well, Carl, it was an ad for therapy.
Yes.
Pretty much, wasn't it? And they were suggesting that, you know, and this therapist will be exactly, you know, they will be selected just for you. You know, like they just take all your personality characters and boom, here's the right guy. And I thought it was absurd. I mean, it sounded absolutely ridiculous. Have you guys ever heard of it?
No.
Oh, yeah, I've heard it on a lot of true crime podcasts. You know,
is
talk
it something
about...
you would consider, Brandon, after hearing the ads? If you had a problem?
No, but I mean, I could see that especially the people that maybe are likely to listen to true crime podcasts and get all down after binging 10 episodes about grisly murders and they're all depressed. And then all of a sudden you hear, hey, if you're feeling down, why don't you call these guys? And then, you know,
I just thought it sounded very,
I could
iffy
see it happening
and very expensive. But anyway, Flo, so anything more from Pitbull?
I have a theory about podcast listeners in general, and I know that everybody listening to this is a podcast listener, but a lot of them tend to be lonely people, and that's why they listen to podcasters, because they think that they're friends with them. So maybe this isn't necessarily therapy, but it's just like, do you just need a friend to text with? For $500 a month, Talkspace, you can talk to a friend.
Well, $100 off is definitely disconcerting. Anyway, I know that the top podcast of the week was the other half of Call Her Daddy, Sophia F. These two splintered in a basically a greed thing, or, well, she says it's a friendship thing. And Alex got off to a booming start with Barstool. And so we've been sitting, waiting. Well, I haven't been sitting on pins and needles, but some, you know, their audience is naturally sitting and waiting for Sophia F. to make her move. And so here it is, episode one. And Carl, take it away.
Yeah, so it's called Sophia with an F. And as you mentioned, it's currently ranked 50th on the Spotify podcast chart. So this has come in with a bang. And of course, Call Her Daddy, huge show on Barstool Sports. Still very large with Alex Cooper, like we pointed out a couple of weeks ago when she was interviewing Miley Cyrus. So Sophia's got to tell her side, because if you remember how this all went down, I think we documented this.
Yes.
Dave Portnoy came out and he said, here's the deal. We tried to renegotiate their contracts. We signed them for 3 years. Their show blew up. They wanted more money. We negotiated them getting this amount. They were going to be able to get rights to the show after 3 years. He laid it all out there. He gave them all the terms. And Alex was like, yep, let's do it. This seems like a good deal. Sophia said, no, I think we can do better. So basically they're like, all right, well, Alex is going to take it. Sophia, you can hit the bricks.
Was it always on Barstool?
No, they had the show off for like 3 or 4 episodes, and then Barstool picked them up.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know part. Yeah. So it sounds to me that Sophia believes that it's all about her and Alex, and Barstool had little to do with their success.
Come on.
Which is, I would find it stunning if that were indeed true.
It's all about you, sweetheart.
Anyway, yeah, there's a lot of drama here, which is good for podcasts. And you mentioned 50th. That's probably out of all podcasts, because I did see it was briefly number one in our category, the comedy category. And oh, I love celebrity podcasts when they come on and I watch them drop past us. It's the best feeling in the world. And this one, I'm kind of not sure because I don't know this audience very well, but I'm just hoping they go past us. By the way, Justin Long is getting closer to passing us the wrong way. I'm going to be so psyched when that happens because this podcast is terrible.
But well, anyway. Drew, you knew that this episode was going to get all the downloads.
Oh, yeah.
She's finally speaking, and Alex has already come out and given her side of the story. So now Sophia gets to come out and tell her side of the story. I want to start off with track 4. Right here, she's explaining how big Call Her Daddy got. And the reason why I want to play this is because listen to how scripted this is.
It got to a point where we couldn't even go outside without getting recognized. Ew. I just sounded so cringy right there.
So what I'm setting up here is she has a whole monologue that she does. It's the first 17 minutes of the show. Oh. And I guarantee this was all written and rehearsed.
Amen.
She probably did multiple takes at it because it sounds acted to me.
You know what's everything funny about this? She also sounds just like the other girl.
Well, yeah.
Well, the way she talks is so annoying. I mean,
it got to a point where we couldn't even go outside without getting recognized. Ew.
It's really awful. I mean, if they don't pass us, I'm gonna give myself a time. I'm setting the egg timer. And if they don't pass us going the wrong way at some point in the next year, it could be the end.
If they pass us, you're gonna go,
ew.
I've got a lot of egg timers on this show.
Yeah, we do. You're right. Okay, what's next?
Well, I'm talking fast. All right, so she lost everything, and she explains that in track 5.
I lost my best friend, I lost my show, and I lost my career virtually overnight. And not only that, but I became the subject of a very public, very aggressive smear campaign where I was publicly attacked, bullied, and humiliated for months.
Well, why don't you cry about it? Saddlebags?
Oh,
that
my.
Sounds so fake.
Now,
oh, guys, the poor popular girl who made a ton of money and is now famous was bullied. Oh,
yeah.
This is so sad. The amazing thing that you're pointing out how scripted this is, and it is, and I'm sure we'll hear more evidence of that, is that she accuses her partner of being unable to operate without a script.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to be one of the most loosey-goosey girls in their 20s, banging guys in New York, living the single life show. And the idea that it's scripted is, to me, not good.
Oh, I think it'd be summed up in one word.
Ooh.
I didn't have it cued right. Damn it.
That's pretty good.
So she says the other girl is the one that's totally scripted. And we know how scripted Sophia is from listening to her. So how bad can the other one be? She said they could not do a live broadcast. People kept throwing money at them to do live shows, and they couldn't do it because the one girl couldn't do it live because she needs a script.
Well, now we know she's talking about herself.
Am I stealing your thunder, Carl?
No, not at all.
Okay.
So what she does is she goes in and she explains her angle from a business perspective and from a personal perspective because they were actual roommates and friends in real life before this all fell apart.
And I want to first...
Oh, sorry. Was that not the cue?
It wasn't, but I appreciate you. I appreciate you being all over that. So she starts off by talking about this from a business perspective.
Wait, that's the cue?
All right, track 7.
That's
please.
What you said last time.
All right.
Now, to everyone listening, I want to ask you a question, and let's really put our thinking caps on. If a man walked into his boss's office requesting to be fairly compensated, would he be labeled as greedy? Really chew on that for a second.
She's really leaning into playing the gender card here acting like she's a victim because she's a woman. Now, the problem with that is she asked for more money, and Dave Portnoy said, sure.
Yeah.
We're willing to renegotiate this, and actually gave her a bigger percentage of the merchandise, rights to the show, like all sorts of concessions because she renegotiated. And then she goes, oh, if a man had renegotiated this, they would have just given him everything he wanted. I'm like, no, that's how negotiations work.
Okay. I want to
make a little.
I'd like to add this to that is that the idea that they were bitches because they were women asking for money. No one said that till they started saying that about each other. Nobody was coming out going, oh my God, can you believe the caller daddy girls are asking for money? No, all I ever heard about that show was how successful it was. And the other problem with the sexism complaint is that this is a show that talks about sucking dicks and fucking guys. And I mean, aren't they playing everything in the female card to get success, basically?
In fact, play track 6 as this speaks to that.
And I want to first start with business, which I know as a woman, it is not my place to talk about business, but if you will please allow me to.
If your public persona is being a skank, it has nothing to do with you being a woman. That's not the problem here.
Just the way she said it was really cunty.
She's absolutely. But what I'm saying is you can't have it both ways. You can't use all your feminine wiles and spilling your sex life and all these intimate things that will obviously draw people to the show and then claim that, you know, you're being treated as a sexist when you negotiate when it honestly sounds like it wasn't that way at all. In fact, Barstool, didn't they offer them $500,000 guaranteed?
Yes.
That's a pretty good deal.
Pretty good money for a podcaster.
Because I believe it was 3 years was the offer.
No, they signed a 3-year deal. That's the crazy part. They were under contract. Barstool didn't have to do anything. They were obligated to put out a show.
Oh,
no kidding. They had a 3-year deal.
Yes, they had a deal in place. They then went in and said, we want to renegotiate.
Okay, well, here's the thing about that is this. I believe this product has a shelf life, and I believe having a guarantee over time is a really good thing for this type of show. And I'm not saying they can't evolve and do better, but I just feel like it really has a shelf life. Just saying.
Yeah, I'd rather multi-year.
Yeah, I would if I were advising them.
Carl, after listening to both podcasts, is there one that you would rather listen to? You have to pick one. Is there one you'd rather listen to?
I like that you did that because both of these are terrible. I think that I got to figure out what Sophia's going to do with this show.
Okay.
Because she says, and we'll play a clip later on where she talks about what she's going to turn this show into. And she says, well, it's not going to just be about sex, guys. We're going to talk to my friends and family. And I'm like, that's not going to be good.
There go the downloads.
We're not talking about sucking dicks.
Maybe.
No. Now, what about like aesthetically, the sound of it? I mean, is there one you prefer over the other?
The show sounds pretty good. Sounds it's well produced.
It just sounds phony, though. She sounds fake.
Well, that's her problem.
Yeah.
It's nobody else's fault, in my opinion.
So, guess whose fault it is, actually, Drew? Play track 8.
Okay.
Because let me tell you something. Society and men and those that bow down to them will try to convince you that you are being crazy and that you are being greedy. Fuck them.
So it's the patriarchy's fault is the reason why. Not because she made a bad business decision and lost everything. It's the patriarchy.
I don't take no orders from no woman, by the way.
How do you sign? Okay, she's going to claim that their revenues are $10 million, which is plausible. I believe that. As many downloads as they have, that's very possible. She's going to claim that they were only paid 4% of the $10 million, which would be $400,000, which honestly, as a percentage, no, that's not terribly good. But I suspect that Barstool had a whole lot to do with their success. And also, they signed a three-year deal. Barstool gambled on them when they weren't worth money. Because I don't how much revenue do they have when Barstool signed them?
Sounds
not much.
A lot like Taylor Swift not being able to buy her own masters. You know, because the record label puts forth money and does all the work for you to get your album out there.
If they were making, they do one show a week, right? Or they did?
Yeah, right.
Okay, if they were making $40,000, which I wrongly thought when I first did 4% of $10 million, then I redid the math and I went, no, that's $400,000. That's not bad. And under the circumstances, it's, you know, I think it's fair in light that Barstool took a big gamble. But that doesn't mean it's not okay to go in and ask for a renegotiation. And in fact, Barstool came through for them.
That's the incredible part.
It is. So anyway, take it away, Carl. I'm sorry.
Barstool's the one who's making the risk in the beginning. Once you're a well-known entity, and she even says, the talent should be making 80% of the revenue. I was like, maybe if you're Howard Stern, you can demand that kind of money. But right now, no one knows who Sophia Franklin is. Even if you ask people who listen to Call Her Daddy, that name rings a bell.
You know, I'm not sure if you added all our salaries up that we would be, that would be 80% of our total, to be honest.
For this podcast. No, there's overhead. And
yeah. No, I don't know where she's getting that number. She's talking out of her ass.
She is, because it's probably that HBO executive boyfriend who's telling her that. Because it's very different in the world where advertising is what drives it, not subscriptions. You have a whole sales team. The fact that they're actually selling advertising for them, she can't make that money on her own, even with 10 million listeners or however many more listeners to the show.
No, she probably doesn't have the contacts.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a sellable thing. Anyway, I'm sorry. Move ahead, Carl.
So then she transitions to the personal stuff with her and Alex Cooper, and she goes right for the guilt trip. This is brutal. Track 9.
You were my best friend. You knew what I went through with depression. You knew what I went through with mental health. And you enabled an enormous media conglomerate to completely destroy my life.
Slut.
That was the first thing. This is why women are not good at being friends with each other. That was the first thing she said. You know, I struggle with depression. And you went after me like this. Like, we tried to sign a deal together and you were being difficult. So I decided to do it without.
Do you need mental health?
This is what I hate about it, though. I mean, I don't know what her mental health background is, but just hearing it in that context, I just want to say it's fake. And that she's...
I question it too.
At the very least, exaggerating it.
Well, she's really hot. She has hot privilege, if you will. Yeah. She has a lot going for her. She's making a shit ton of money. She's young, living in New York.
She made a bad business decision and looks like a fucking fool. Period. Well, end of story.
Yeah. Now she looks like a fool. Yeah. Not then, though. Then they really were doing okay. I understand breaking into the deal, but now, yeah, she looks... And I don't know what she's making now. I don't know what they're paying her. Maybe you found that out, Carl.
I have no idea. Okay. We'll see if the show works out.
I hope it's 80%.
You guys don't pass them.
Please. Oh, God, I hope they pass us.
What's great is that Alex did all of this to Sophia, but it would not have happened the other way around, track 10.
If the roles are reversed, and I have thought about this a million times, I could have never done that to you. Ever.
That's really easy to say, isn't it?
Yes.
If I had the opportunity to screw you over, I wouldn't have. Yeah, well, bullshit. You didn't, so we don't know. We don't know the answer to that.
Wow.
Anyone can say that.
Alex is the one that rolled the dice and went out and did a show on her own. Sophia she's the rear. She's picking up the rear and saying, well, here I am now, and here's my story. But honestly, I give Alex credit for having the balls to go out and do it on her own. And she's doing pretty well.
That was the idea to do the show in the first place, too. And that's the thing that Sophia doesn't mention. She talks about how she's definitely the more talented of the two. And this is what you were talking about earlier, Drew, track 11.
Why couldn't we do a live show? Why couldn't we do video? Because you read off of a script. Are we all seeing the delusion now?
No.
Reading off the script.
I was just going to say, isn't every clip that you've played sound, well, like you mentioned, sounds rehearsed, recorded.
Absolutely.
Written out.
And also, Alex is interviewing Miley Cyrus. I don't think that interview was scripted. Judging by how poor an interview it was, I really don't think it was scripted.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, somebody might be onto something because that interview was terrible.
It was awful.
Wow, that's fascinating.
I mean, is it amazing what two hot girls can do talking into microphones? Isn't it? I mean, how low the bar is if they talk about the right thing?
No one else is doing it.
No, there's actually a lot of shows doing this. I was just looking at Podcast One. Have you seen the lineup on Podcast One, how many podcasts they have on there?
Do they have a bunch of skanky chicks talking about that?
It looks like it. I'm just looking at the label. I'm just judging the book by its cover, but man, it sure did look like it.
I mean, I know there's Guys We Fucked and stuff like
that. Yeah, Guys We Fucked, which passed us, by the way. It went past us the other way. Were we past? Okay, we passed it.
Ew.
No,
and Guys passed us the other way.
Yeah, Guys We Fucked.
Well, in that case...
That was the number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It was in the top five all the time. Oh. And it slowly, people, I don't know if they ran out of people to fuck or they ran out of people to talk about that they fucked or what happened. It just has lost its allure. And it's, you know, it still does well. It's still a good podcast numbers wise, but it's below us.
I think Sophia would have been better if she used this attack.
I haven't gobbled 1,000 cocks like you think I have. I was trying to impress you.
That'd be one way to go.
Sophia even mentions on the new show she might bring on ex-boyfriend, so I think she's going for the Guys We Fucked.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see how long that lasts for. You can only have so many of those.
It's not a bad idea, though.
No, that's okay. Not bad.
All right, so the last clip I want to play, this is her triumphant victory lap where she's doing an ad read. And you're going to love the promo code.
So to start your free deliveries, download the app and use the code. And you guys, this code should be very easy to remember. Sophia100, as in I own 100% of my show.
Stupid chick's really put out.
She owns 100% of the show that's worth 96% less than Call Her Daddy. Well, congratulations.
I own 100% of my show too, Sophia.
Oh, really?
I guess so. Well, who else owns it? I mean, doesn't
I just wanted to play that drop.
Carl, do you own 100% of your show?
Yeah, and use the promo code Carl100 at my bookie.
I mean, I don't think owning 100% of a podcast is really that unusual.
No, I'd rather be on Barstool Sports, to be honest with you. I think that'd be a better gig.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. You got it. Okay. Did you have any additional cuts, Carl?
No, that's all I got for Sophia with an
app. Hey, hot Carl.
I meant like Stuttering John or otherwise.
Stuttering John has been doing this fascinating thing where his apartment is getting gross. And I think what happened was he was storing a bunch of his stuff at his buddy's place and his ex-wife's place, and they've told him he has to bring it all back in. So I've noticed over the last couple of months that boxes have started piling up in the background of the show, which is hilarious because all of a sudden he decided to get a green screen in. So now he pretends to be, and it's not even like a studio. Like usually if you have a green screen, you can go one of two ways. You could have like a really cool looking studio. Maybe it's overlooking Manhattan skyline, or you could have something that's kind of a goof. That's obviously a joke. Mm-hmm. He goes the opposite way. He has just like a living room, just a nice looking living room with a piano in the background. All of his guests come on and they go, "Oh, Jeff, it's a really nice house." He's like, "Oh, well, yeah, it's actually a green screen." But the best part about it, the reason why he does it, is because he has a cockroach problem. He's getting a cockroach infestation.
Ew.
And we've been looking at this over the last month and a half. When he first got freaked out by a cockroach while he was live on his show, he's like, "Whoa, what's that?" Oh! Ever since then, people have been asking him questions about cockroaches in his house. And he keeps lying about it and saying, "Yeah, the exterminator came over and he said there's no problem." So he just laughed. Like, what exterminator would ever say, if you have cockroaches in your house, you're going to need help. They don't just go away.
What a liar.
No, and you don't call an exterminator either. What probably.
Idiot.
I said, "Hey, Carl, stop ignoring me."
Yes, Han.
I'm going to do my own podcast with Brandon. We are going to kill it and gyrate so many bitches.
I wonder if Hawk will own 100%. Hawk 100 be
you
the
can
promo
rip on it later.
All right. So
people keep trolling him and asking him about his cockroaches. He goes, no, I think we're all set. I haven't seen one in a long time because, you know, he takes the chats of people coming in. People give him $5. He has to read the question.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
God. And he's slipped up a few times and said certain things. So tell me if you guys can hear my board here. This is him when a cat jumps into his lap.
Like, he'll stay here as long as I pet him. That's Magneto. But this is the cockroach killer. No mouse is coming in. This is a feral cat.
So he calls his cat the cockroach killer, and then goes, "Oh shit! I shouldn't have said that. I mean, it's a great mouser. This cat will take care of any mice that come in."
What a stupid lie that he now has to keep track of.
Oh boy, how grim too. And that show sounds like
is he broke? Is he not?
I think he is, Carl.
He's definitely broke.
But come on, he would have made a lot of money. Maybe not on Stern.
Oh, he made a lot of money.
So where did it go?
He got a divorce.
Oh.
But that doesn't account for everything. I mean, his show sounds like shit. He can't afford a decent sounding pod. Is it really that expensive to sound okay?
He only has 7 Patreon members. what do you want him to do, man?
Aren't you surprised
to believe your marriage isn't working out?
isn't it amazing to hear ads on his show? Who does advertise on that show?
State Farm.
Speedweed. He's got an ad. So this guy out in L.A. delivers marijuana to you. It's called Speedweed. And that's an advertiser. But it's all in trade.
I was going
to
say, it sounds like a barter.
Is that it? Are there any others?
He has another advertiser. This is the funniest thing. It's his buddy who's trying to sell his house. Okay. And he's like, oh, it's like a specific address in L.A. somewhere. Oh. And he'll show you the video of it and stuff. Like, this is a podcast. What are you doing?
You gotta be kidding me.
Makes me sad in a way.
I know it is really distressing.
Real quick, guys, this is the payoff here.
Okay.
So I've been following this cockroach saga, and just this past week, he slipped up again. He's in hour 3 of his show, so he's getting a little delirious. And he says, you should change up your background, because he's had that same silly living room background. And listen closely to what he says here.
Ian Harrison, John, take a COVID vacation, a.k.a. change your background. You want me to change my background? Okay. Oh, I just heard something. I hope it's not a cockroach. Okay, I'm going to change my background. Let's see what I can do.
Do you know he caught himself right there? Yes. I heard something. I hope it's not a cockroach. Yeah, I'll change my background. Yep, here we go.
You would think he'd start playing up the cockroach angle at this point.
Yeah, might as well just own it.
Just put the cockroaches on the broadcast, and maybe he'd get barter with an exterminator.
Carl, he doesn't have, like, the boner pills advertisers, or, I mean, the ones that go on so many shows, no?
No, he doesn't have listeners. The only people listening to the show are trolls who are making fun of him, so it's really hard to get advertisers.
Wow. Because he still is the guy from The Tonight Show and The Howard Stern Show. How can you... Well
he burned so many bridges with Howard.
He's just not really terribly
How many times
good?
Did he hit Leno up for something? Like some
I know, I'd love to know that. All right, Carl, are we all wrapped? Got our cuts
wrapped,
in?
We're wrapped, buddy.
Okay, man. Great stuff. Who's on Who Are These Podcasts this week?
So as you mentioned, our current episode out right now is the Eric Zane Show podcast, former Free Beer and Hot Wings host. So there might be some listeners who know Eric Zane. You can check that out. And then this weekend coming up, we're going to be reviewing Scorch's Sloppy Seconds OD. You guys know who Scorch is?
No. Great radio name, though. I love it.
Scorch!
Scorch! Scorch has been around.
Scott Storch?
No, Scorch! Now on 92.9 The X, which is in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Sounds like a flamethrower. Eau Claire, Wisconsin?
I looked it up. It's the 129th ranked radio market, and he's doing a morning show.
And he does a weekly segment with Mr. Skin that he just did today.
He did?
Oh. Really? Sounds scorching. Huh. Wow, I'm intrigued, Carl. Have you listened to the show yet?
I have, and it's one of these really funny shows where you can tell that it's 4 hours of just playing music and commercials and traffic and weather, because when he breaks it down for the podcast, it's about 17 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And it's just resetting the same thing over and over again. So he'll bring up a segment, and then he'll get to the next part, and he just submits it again. You're like, oh, you just reset that.
Exactly. So I don't think I'd be a fan of the show. I'm just looking at his promo picture. Drew, you want to see
his promo picture
there?
Scorch!
My indie eyes are working, so I can't show you guys.
Not quite scorching a dude as I thought he would be. But I saw big, long hair.
He's got he's bald. He's got a beard and just a really loud green Hawaiian shirt. And he's got both hands up like, hey! but he's got the latest from Scorch. And what drives me nuts is everything has minimally 2 exclamation points after it. Some have 4 exclamations. Some have 3.
His name is Scorch.
So he's like, Foo Fighters out with Jimmy Kimmel. 2 exclamation points. Let's see, what got 3 exclamation? Oh, this one got 2 question marks.
Exclamation point.
This is this topic. Fall, what do you like about it? 2 exclamation points.
What?
And then here's, get your AC/DC coins. 4 exclamation points.
Whew. Well, I'm looking forward to it, Carl. I love it when you do radio, I have to admit.
It's been fun. It's been fun this month. We'll keep doing it through the rest of October.
Okay, who are these podcasts on all your platforms? Thank you, Carl.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
See you, brother.
Okay.
So, Carl totally ignored me.
I know. I'm sorry about that, Hawk.
What a dick.
Poor Hawk. Bills.
He was kind of a dick about it, really. I'm a little surprised by that.
You can't blow off a Hawk. I mean,
no. And I thought Hawk was really trying to open the door there to something.
Like I'm not even here.
Like I'm not even here?
You know, and in his situation, you know, as a guy who has a handicap and has a disease, you would think that it's politically incorrect to not befriend Hawk. You know,
I guess I'll wheel myself out.
I think we now have our first Hawk war. Hawk and Carl are officially at war. I love the idea of Hawk going after people.
Hawk v. Carl.
Fuck Carl.
Absolutely.
One's British, one's German. What do you expect? I mean, it's like oil and water.
It's inexcusable. No, Hawk has every right to attack Carl. And Carl's a guy that attacks other people. So I think it's, I don't know, it's his comeuppance, maybe?
Yeah. Prepare yourself, Hawk.
Hawk is not a guy you want to be on his bad side.
No.
Because once he sets all the gyrations aside, Hawk is incredible. I mean, he's one of the smartest people in the world.
Plus, nobody knows how fast that chair moves.
Oh, yeah. No, he's Hot Wheels. It's one of his nicknames.
I'll do another show called Who Are These Porn Stars That's Way Better Than Carl's.
What are you going to review? Pornhub clips, I guess? Is that what you're...
Hell yeah.
Okay, that makes sense, Hawk, yeah.
And of course, they know if they're being reviewed to have plenty of...
You'll listen.
I would listen. Hawk.
I would absolutely.
I kind of think we should actually do it now, Brandon.
It's a great idea.
Audible gyrating.
That could be a very big show on the network.
It could be really funny.
kind of psyched. What to think about that? Wow. You know, one of the things, I didn't get to talk to Carl about this, but one of the things he mentions on the new Who Are These podcasts about Eric Zane, and I'm not trying to pile on Eric. I know Eric. And it's probably...
Eric!
It's funny that Eric had Carl on. Eric's using it as a promotional vehicle.
Sure, if he can get smart.
It's very smart. And he took the joke well. So to his credit, I think he handled it as well as you can handle something like that. But what Eric does and what I hear a lot of radio people do is, who do podcasts, is they take the radio isms that don't belong in podcasts.
And Zane admitted that, yeah, I probably should stop doing that.
Did he?
I think he pretty much admitted that.
Like, I didn't hear Carl on there today.
Yeah, yeah. And it was actually a pretty good conversation. Now, I will be on Zane's side with this because Andy, Carl's partner for that episode, pointed out a few things. And I'm like, but, and Eric actually pointed out, he's like, yeah, this is a local radio show doing a podcast, because there was some criticism about his advertisers being too local.
No, that was stupid. That was crazy. Carl should have edited that out. Hawk should be all over him.
Well, Carl kind of, I think, pushed back on that a little bit. I mean, if that's where your listeners are, why wouldn't you want to target advertising to those people?
No, it makes total sense. If we could have national ads on this show, which honestly, I think we should.
Yeah, we're State Farm.
You know, if we were part of Barstool, for example, we probably would, because we combined with 3 other shows, you could say there's this many downloads, and Barstool is well known, so they probably have all the connections. Whereas our sales staff, knows those people, but I think separately out on our own, it's probably hard to get on those pods.
I texted Carl, too, because I just wrote, I'm listening to the show, and ouch, we used to do best ofs, because he was ragging Zane for doing a best of episode.
Yeah.
And then Carl just wrote back, yeah, at least you learned not to do them. But the reason we did them was to keep
you losers.
Continuity of every single day. There's something being there to download.
Yeah, that was
part of it.
I heard the same conversation, and I understood what he was saying, that it's a podcast. You can listen to any podcast anytime you want. But the fact of the matter is, if you are doing a daily podcast, like a radio show, there are similarities to radio. And in fact, people may use that show as almost a lifeline. And so when the weekend comes along, a lot of people are happy to have something else downloaded new, like segments of different shows thrown together that you might not have heard.
Yeah.
So, I will stand up for Eric on that one.
I know.
But I understood
what
he was saying also, that it does seem silly to direct people to listen to certain things at certain times because, yeah, it is a podcast. You can listen whenever the hell you want.
I feel like Hawk is workshopping something.
I said, work with me here.
Okay. What do you got an idea?
How about this name? Three bitches and hot women.
I don't know, Hawk.
A couple strip clubs interested in advertising for you guys.
Wait, Hawk, are you going to be free bitches? Because if you're free bitches, then you're going to have to get a partner to be hot women. Is that what it was? Free bitches
yes.
and hot women? I don't know which one you're going to be.
Well, Hawk absorbs them all.
So. Shut up, Mark.
I'm just workshopping it. I'm trying to help.
I love the idea of creating enemies for Hawk to go after.
He's really kind of on the warpath.
Mark is a dick, too.
See, I don't know what I did.
I think Carl was really dismissive. I mean, that was I've heard slights on the show before, but that was really brutal. That was just brutal.
I know. It's almost like there was a problem with Zoom, but then again, Hawk just comes down from, you know, the...
he heard Brandon okay.
From space.
I think it was an intentional... I hate to say this because I like Carl, but I think he snubbed Hawk intentionally. I don't know why. I really don't.
Sorry, Mark.
It's okay, Hawk.
Haven't been gyrated in months, and I'm grumpy.
He's all backed up. Wait, could Stephen Hawking beat off?
No, I don't think he could.
Okay. Well, that explains it.
Hawk, can you...
Did he beat off?
I mean, I don't think so.
Yes, next question.
What did he say?
Yes, next question. Well, although maybe his version of beating off is like getting his chair up to something and just moving the chair. I don't know.
It would be tricky.
Because he could move his...
My chair has a device.
Could he move his arms?
I don't think
he could.
So. No, I think he probably could beat off for a while. And then, can you imagine reaching a point where you can't beat him?
Oh, that'd be horrible.
Quit talking about me.
Okay, I'm sorry, Hawk.
Sorry.
But the great thing is, Hawk was so aggressive about chicks, and chicks dug him. I mean, his nurse left her husband for Hawk.
That's right.
Well, she got to see it. She got to see the merchandise before.
Well, I mean, can you imagine how Hawk must have gone after that to make her leave her doctor husband?
Must have been hung.
Probably.
His big move is having his pants changed. And then he's hard. It just pops out.
She got hot every time she wiped my ass.
Oh, Hawk.
Well, she got to see it. It makes a lot of sense. And the more I think about it, Hawk had to be hung. George, he's got to be hung.
It's like he's pulling the nude move, but he's not doing he's not doing the nude move. They're just down there, and then he's hard. So it's like, why don't you take care of that thing while you're down
there? Huge dog.
Well, he considered, to him, it's the nude move. That's the difference.
Yes.
I mean, to a normal person, it would be, oh, God, this poor person has to, you know, take care of this. But to Hawk, it's like, here comes the nude move. And it's a matter of psychology. He makes it work for
him.
He's brilliant.
That is really...
I'm sorry if I ever...
High IQ guy.
Anything bad about you, Hawk.
I could be surprised.
Take it all back.
My clothes fell off.
Okay, so luxury bowling.
Yeah, oh, well, shit. Yeah, oh, boy.
Yeah.
We're a little late.
Are we going to be in trouble?
I don't think so. He seems like a pretty cool guy.
Do you want to call Terrence while I do a read?
Yeah.
Because... Luke Nowacki is there for you. If you are looking at the stock market and saying, oh boy, what is going on here? You probably need someone who is thinking about it and makes it their life to understand the stock market or to try as best they can. And that's all you can do. But some people are very good at it. And Luke Nowacki is a longtime professional at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies. And it's not just about the stock market. It's about having a financial plan, which most people, I don't think they really do. And the thing is, it doesn't matter how old you are. It's never too late to start. That doesn't mean it'll end exactly the way you want it to at retirement, but it certainly helps to jump in the fray. Because, you know, I know at 40, maybe going, I got a long way to go. But you know what? That 59 and a half, that 401k you're eligible for to use that money, it comes a little faster than you might think. Take it from me. So it's best to plan in advance, and that's what Luke will help you do at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies, 248-663-4748. There's many other things you probably want advice on, too, like 529s, college savings plan, 401k. What are you invested in? People make that choice, and frequently they just leave it there, and they don't think about it. They just see the statement once in a while, go, it looks like it went up, looks like it went down, so on and so forth. Have a plan. Call Luke Nowacki, 248-663-4748. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. Member FINRA SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities and or marketing names, product service here, are independent of Royal Alliance Associates. Adam is the American Divorce Association for Men. If you're a man facing divorce or custody issues, call Adam for nearly 30 years. Adam has been helping men just like you protect your rights and get the fair treatment in the court system you deserve. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam has the knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys you want. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM. They have been looking at this from the male side for a long time, so they know where they're going. Hopefully the same way you are. And is Terrence on board?
He did not answer. Did you get a hold of him, Brandon? I saw you calling him to...
No, well, I mean, I spoke to him a little after 6 when I said sorry.
Can you text him?
No, I have texted him, so he should be here.
Okay.
Or he should accept your phone call if you dial it again, I think.
Okay.
I love these songs. Ever since my lobotomy, I fell at home in a bowling alley. Like famous bowlers of history, like the dude whose name is Jeffrey Lebowski. It's a different melody and everything. Bowling, bowling, bowling is a lot
of fun. Bowling, bowling, bowling is a lot of fun. Some people are saying that Brandon never really talked to Terrence and that we never really had an interview scheduled.
Seriously?
No, we had an interview scheduled. It's just we're an hour late for the interview, and I already moved them twice. So.
Ooh.
Oh, so we're getting the shaft?
We might be. I don't know. He's not answering now.
Maybe he's got to take the alley somewhere.
Hey, I was going to say if we're on Facebook Live, I'd give out the phone number and have some people call and just say, yeah, I heard Drew and Mike talking about you.
Well, he's got a website, luckystrikebowling.com. So.
Okay. Sorry about that. I mean, this has happened before. It does happen.
I really want to get the alley on Drayton, man.
Oh, we have to get it somewhere. Actually, you know what? Could we?
Part of Drewfest? Drewfestapalooza?
Wouldn't it be better? Yeah, Carl's band could play.
Yeah.
We've definitely got an event going somewhere.
Matt Farley up here.
Are bowling alleys open?
Yeah, they are right now.
Okay.
But, you know, you wonder if that's going to last because I know in the UK they shut down, I think it, did they say bowling specifically? I wrote it down. So
everything's shut down, isn't it, in the UK?
Well, bars, restaurants, and I thought they said bowling alleys, which is weird because I don't think of people in England bowling that much, but yeah, there's a lot of shutdown going on. In fact, this is interesting to me, and I'm sure to many, is that the virus is sweeping Europe, and in some cases, the spike is worse than the spike we're having here. In fact, did you hear the Pope is getting shit?
Yeah, I know some of the Swiss Guard have
four guys
contracted it, yeah.
And they had a clip of the Pope just wallowing into this huge audience with no mask. Yeah. So the Pope has been canceled, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure what they do. They pick a new Pope? Do we look for the smoke?
Maybe we'll just get the old one back. He's still alive. Pope Benedict's still alive.
But he just stepped down, didn't he?
Yeah, he could fill in for a while.
Hmm.
be an interim Pope again.
And, you know, there was a setback in one of the vaccine trials today.
It's one. It's It happens. It's one person.
It's well. It's gonna
Their stock went down. I kind of want to buy Johnson & Johnson stock now.
It's not probably not a bad stock anyway, is it?
No, no. It's pretty. I mean, pretty diversified company. Yeah,
that's the kind of thing you talk to Luke about, because a lot of those older companies like Johnson & Johnson, like General Electric, for example. But, General Electric probably isn't doing terribly well right now, are they?
You know, that's a great question. I think GE is doing better. GE took a dive because they put so much money into, of all things, health insurance and healthcare, which wasn't.
Oh, were they taking a dive?
That wasn't their expertise, so it really just destroyed.
Can you take
them.
A look at General Electric? I'm just kind of curious for myself. Because I hung on to the stock. It just kept going down.
What was the last time you saw it? Because I think last time it was at 10, what I remember.
Mark,
boy. Yeah, never mind.
What's it at?
$6.
Oh, boy.
That's great.
Oh, that's a loser. See, now, if I had only told Luke about that.
That's the big mistake. People hold on to losers.
It's not in the setup I have with Luke. It's in my own personal setup, which I rarely trade on, which is dumb.
They're not going anywhere. But when you see things
But when it goes down that much and they have problems. I mean, it was I want to say I bought some at $24.
Ooh, ouch.
I know. It's smarts. And it's gone.
But with that Johnson & Johnson thing, it's like one day of really bad press. It's going to go down and people will...
And also,
bounce right back up because they were doing so well.
On the vaccine front,
I could be totally wrong.
There are 42 vaccines that are in human trials. So there's a million people who are going after this, and somebody's going to get there, but it was a setback.
It's gonna take time.
And there was concern because a lot of states are up. Wisconsin said their hospitalization rate has tripled in 1 month.
Do you know what our hospitalization rates have been?
In Michigan?
Yeah.
No.
It's up 80%.
I don't know what that means exactly. I mean, I don't know.
COVID-19 hospitalizations have spiked 80% recently.
I mean, are they at the point where they're like, oh, my God, we are almost out of ventilators?
They're overwhelmed, but we were going so...
We are frightened of Cornova.
Yeah, I mean, if it's going up, it's never good. But the fact, another fact to add to this is that deaths are down quite a bit from the horrific days of May and late April. You know, we were having 2,500, 2,700 deaths a day. And this week, I think it's been... You know, 300, 700, 900, 900, 700, which is not good. But
our 7-day average in the state is 1,237, which is the highest it's been since April. It's like, really? This is the way we're trending?
Well, the weather's getting cooler.
I know.
So,
breaking news with Mort Krim.
Luxury Lanes is such a fantastic operation that he had to bypass our call to take care of a customer.
Oh, wow.
But he is available now.
Wow. Okay. You know what? I don't have the information for me. What's Terrence's last name?
Jackson.
Jackson. That's right. I wanted to say TJ. Jackson, but I thought, am I just taking a wild guess? There's so many Jacksons.
Jackson.
I mean, I am a fan of Terrence. If this works or it doesn't work, and I think it will, I love what he's doing.
Luxury Strike Bowl, how may I help you?
I want to speak to Terrence Jackson.
This is he.
Terrence! It's the Drew and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you doing, Terrence?
I'm good. Busy.
Good.
But I am great.
That was a great article about what you're doing with the mobile bowling lanes that appeared. Was that in the Free Press?
Yes, the Free Press and Fox 2 News as well.
And now the Drew and Mike Show.
Absolutely. That's the best, right?
Yeah. Terrence, be honest. Have you ever heard of the Drew and Mike Show?
Actually, I hadn't, but my mom told me a little bit about the Drew and Mike Show. So I'm just curious,
what did your mom say exactly?
She said it was a radio show that she listened to a lot when she worked for the post office back in the day.
Really? Oh, did she have any commentary about it?
Not really. It was we have so much to talk about as far as the company and life right now and the madness in the world. So what we spoke about is just for a second.
Did she make it sound like a show that she might want to listen to again someday?
Yes, absolutely. You know, as she's gotten a little bit older, obviously, you know, in social media and all that stuff, a lot of people still listen to the radio and a lot of people don't. So
I get
she said definitely.
Well, okay. She's going to want to listen because her son's on it too.
Yeah, yeah, she will. That's right.
She better.
She will listen to this podcast because Terrence, I am going to just laud Terrence.
It's such a good idea.
I saw the story, and I bowled in bantam leagues when I was a kid. I bowled in the Illinois State Tournament. Our local team got to go to Downstate, Illinois, and we bowled in the 12 and unders, and we were defeated by a team, but it was totally unfair because the other team, this is back in, let's see, 1972, the other team had a bowler who was allegedly 12 or under who was smoking between turns, and it completely intimidated our team, Terrence.
Wow.
I know. Can you believe that? The audacity. But wouldn't you, have been intimidated if you were 12 and you were bowling a team where a guy was smoking in front of his parents?
Yeah. I would say so. Right.
It freaked me. It freaked all of us out. There were a lot of.
It sounds really compelling.
A lot of misspares, a lot of mistakes. It was very intimidating. He had, you know what? He had sideburns too.
Oh,
now that
God,
I say
that's
it.
Frightening.
And I think he had one of those Prince mustaches.
Oh, he had pubes. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course he did.
Yeah. Prince mustache, real thin.
Yeah, it was Prince-esque. It was really difficult to deal with at that age. But anyway,
yeah,
so
that can
I
be intimidating.
The point is, Terrence, I go way back with bowling, and I was in a media league here. I love bowling, and to see that someone had put together a trailer, I didn't think mobile bowling was possible, Terrence. What in the world made you think of even attempting this?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I've had a long career in the entertainment and marketing vehicle conversion industry, where I've done a lot of tool trucks. I've done party buses all over the nation. I still have maybe 100 vehicles that's still in different fleets across the nation in service right now.
Well, now, what's a party? Can you tell us, Terrence, can you explain what a party vehicle is? What exactly happens on that?
So the party bus vehicle, they actually came after the limousines. And limousines basically came obsolete because for the space. So when you have a bus, you have a lot more space. You can stand up, you can dance, and people started converting them into entertainment vehicles. So these entertainment vehicles now, what you see party buses. So I take buses from, you know, retired places like the city buses and stuff like that.
Partridge
or
Family.
Brand new buses.
Sure.
And I actually do the interiors and make them appealing for people to want to party in. A lot of the companies buy them from me. Well, used to buy them from me.
Is the key?
And I did that for a decade.
Is the key neon lights or blinking lights?
Yep. Yeah, so neon lights. You have the sound system, the nice bench seating that goes around. Yeah, pretty much what you see at weddings. And
were
stuff
you
like that.
Were you associated with the Booty Lounge party bus?
No,
no,
no.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the Booty Lounge? Have you ever been on the Booty Lounge bus?
No, I haven't been on the Booty Lounge.
Would you go on the Booty Lounge bus?
It sounds like fun.
I'll just say this, Terrence. It was fun the first time.
It was. I think they needed Terrence, honestly. You know, the crazy thing here is Terrence sounds like he's been in this industry forever doing all this stuff, all of it leading to his grand exclamation point, which is the mobile bowling lanes. But Terrence, you're only 34 years old, right?
Yeah, well, I started early. I actually had a limousine company when I was 22.
No kidding.
And I decided to sell the company, and it sold so fast. And shortly after that, I just continued to build. And as I continued to build, my craft just got better and better and better. My knowledge of the industry. And that's when I realized, wow, the world is all about convenience now. Convenience means mobile. So let's do something to package what I do and make it convenient. And then I thought about, whoa, hold on. We have basketball, baseball, all these different sports you can package up and bring home. To get an authentic bowling experience, where do you have to go? A bowling alley.
Yep.
So why not make a mobile bowling alley? And that's what happened. It was easier said than done, but here I am. And it's done now, and I lost a lot of hair. I worried a lot of sleep. But I am so grateful that it came together. I mean, there's a lot of fabrication and design and planning. But we're here now, and we're ready to expand and grow.
Are you the only one? Are you the only mobile bowling?
I am the only mobile bowling alley in the world, globally.
Now, one of the things I like about it already, and I imagine this is a great decision on your part because you don't have to deal with this crap. It doesn't matter if you wear bowling shoes or not because you don't want to have to deal with giving out shoes to people, right?
Absolutely. So with our concept, it's more of the laid-back, free, spirited environment. A lot of people hate wearing bowling shoes anyway when you go to a traditional bowling alley. And I just wanted to provide something that you can kind of control. Well, first, it's convenient because we come to you, but you can control the whole vibe. One thing that I hated about bowling alleys was obviously the shoes. And yeah. then you have where they might play music that you really don't, you know, rock with the entire night. With our service,
that's a great point.
It's premium, so you can control the temperature, you can control the lighting, you can control the music, and we have a theater that you can control what's actually on the screen. So just totally different from a traditional bowling alley, but still fun.
What if some creep rented it? Could they watch porn in there?
Well, yeah, when they close the door, they can, it's to their discretion. So
perfect.
When you rent from us, you have your, this is your luxury private bowling alley.
Man, I just am dying to know.
It's brilliant.
Terrence, you're a young guy and you've been an entrepreneur from a very young age. Did you
Absolutely.
did you need investors to go into this? It sounds like it would be expensive to get started.
Well, actually, I needed investors, but you know what? I did it myself. I wanted to be 100% equity holder so I can provide opportunities and
like
make
Sophia.
Moves for the company myself. Yeah, so
I totally get it. This is just such an overwhelming proposition to take bowling on the road. I'm just blown away by it. So let's just get down to it. If I want this bowling lane to come to my house, first of all, is the trailer too big for a street if you were to park
actually,
in front of us?
No. So actually, we inform our guests that we have 70 feet of vehicle mm-hmm. with the truck and trailer combination, and you may block or partially block your neighbor's driveway for us to service you
sure.
in front of a residential. But our trailer gets down the streets really easy. It's not a semi-truck trailer. It's actually a car hauler, so mm-hmm. it's not as wide. And actually, yeah, we service plenty of people on the city streets or residential streets. So, yes.
Okay, so are you in Southfield?
Yes, that's where our headquarters are in Southfield.
Okay, let's just say I wanted to bring you to Ferndale for, what, were we, like 4 hours of bowling?
Oh,
we,
sure
we get like
that.
10 people to come along and
yeah.
bowl with us. Well, 4 hours is a lot. Let's say it's two hours. Yeah, two hours of bowling.
That's our starter special, the two-hour engagement.
All right.
So, yeah, that's what most people take advantage of.
And how much would that cost me to get you guys out here?
It's $500 for 2 hours, and that would include the arrival of the mobile bowling alley to your desired location. You'll have a personal assistant the duration of your time.
Really?
It comes equipped with cups, napkins, and ice. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
You have a personal assistant.
Can I ask them to do anything? Could I, if I wanted to work on something separate from the bowling, could I ask them to work on that too?
Within reason. Within reason, exactly.
Well, what if
it is reasonable? Our guys take care of our clients. They love our guys. Mike and Arthur, they totally accommodate your guests.
They're like a concierge?
They love what they do as well.
Would you say like a concierge?
Sort of, kind of. So they're the driver / personal assistant. Obviously, we're stationary, so once they park the vehicles, they become yours, and they make sure that you are comfortable, everything is going good inside the mobile facility. And we also have a call button, too, that you can hit, and actually the driver comes back and assists you.
Really?
How many balls do I have to choose from?
that's a funny question. You have, I believe we have like 8 balls in there.
Okay.
So, and they're, some of them are different sizes as far as the weight, but pretty much all of them are around like 4.5 inches in diameter.
I mean,
balls are showing.
Are you pretty confident that I can find one of those balls that will fit my hand?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, sure. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, why not, Drew?
Because, I mean, if
what's so special about your hand?
Well, I know. Sausage fingers?
Jeez.
If I go to the trouble of getting Terrence out here and I'm so fired up to bowl, and then I find out that my hand won't fit one of the 8 bowling balls, I mean, I would be beside myself.
They're pretty universal. I think you'll be good. I think you'll totally be good.
Now, we have a friend. He's a very sore loser, and we're afraid he's going to claim that the lane wasn't level. Do you have a level that they can check out to make sure that the lane is level?
Is it standardized?
Actually, yeah. So with the fabrication and design of my mobile bowling alley, I actually designed and fabricated a leveling system, so we can level the trailer to flat zero almost anywhere.
Now, what if we wanted to get crazy and pay you an extra $100 to take it on 696 for a few miles? Can we bowl?
Yeah, can we bowl? Oh, it's what's going?
What?
Huh, what?
It'll be our secret. We won't tell anybody.
I think you would be cheating yourself because you wouldn't be able to see that. Because, and it's against the law. So,
but
no,
Terrence.
Couldn't do that for you.
That'd be a blast.
Terrence, could I actually bowl? Would it allow you to bowl while you're going? Let's just say you were going on a cross-country trip and I was hitching a ride with you and I was like, you know, could I bowl a couple games in the back on board? Was it possible?
We're going to keep it safe. Nope, you wouldn't be able to do it. The pins wouldn't stay up anyway.
Oh,
that's true. Oh, yeah. Duh.
Try
the bowl 300 because of bumps.
Terrence, when I get a strike, though, I don't have to go set the pins up myself, do I?
No, we have an automatic system. So our lanes were ordered from a company under Brunswick. So these are the real authentic lanes. We have the pins, the real pin setters, and we do have independent scoring systems on each lane.
Ooh, are they regulation width and length?
No, so it's obviously, you know, it's in the trailer, so it's designed for our trailer. The lanes are about 25 feet long, and the width is about 4 feet a piece.
What's standard? I don't even know.
What's a normal length of a bowling lane?
I believe it's like 60 feet or something like
60
that.
60 feet.
It's pretty long.
Okay, yep. So it's shorter.
Yeah, 60 feet.
Are the lanes
shorter.
Are the lanes the kind of the standard wood? Is it oiled properly and all that?
Yep, absolutely. We oil our lanes, and it is standard wood. So it's exactly what you get when you go to a bowling alley, just a smaller version, obviously, because it's mobile.
Terrence, I think you'll know when you're really succeeding when you have a right-handed bowler complain that there's not enough oil on their side of the lane. Then you'll know you've made it.
Right.
Then kick that person out.
And also, right. Because you've got Brunswick equipment, which is Brunswick, that's the big name. And you know, I realize there's some differences, but if I were to bowl a 300 on your bowling lane, would the ABC, the American Bowling Congress, would they issue me a patch?
I have no idea. We can try, but nobody's got a 300 in there yet.
Okay. What's the high score so far? Because I want to beat it.
The high score, I believe, so far was like 260 or something like that.
Oh,
you don't allow no-tap 300s, do you?
No, good.
That old bird we talked to.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
We talked to an old lady who got a no-tap 300. That means if she got 9 down, they count it as a strike.
Yeah, no.
That's not a strike.
Drew ripped her patch right off her jacket.
That's terrible. No, the ABC did not send her a patch. And I would say...
I hope they wouldn't.
No, of course not. Absolutely not. I think, honestly, Terrence's lanes are more official than the lanes that lady was bowling on. And granted, she was 96.
Absolutely.
I'm impressed that she can get a few nines, but to call that a 300 game, Terrence, is really...
it's a
travesty.
A 300 game.
Yeah.
Right.
What's next? What else can you put in the back of a truck?
Well, I got a couple things coming in the near future. I think I'm going to definitely be the mobile king once I figure things out.
Swimming pool? Can you do a mobile swimming pool? Mobile axe throwing.
Well, you know what? They actually do have the mobile axe throwing. And to be honest, like seriously, when I was actually thinking this through to actually bring it about, that was the only mobile physical interactive entertainment that you can find that's actually physical, because everything else is like the game trucks and pretty much that's it. You got the game truck, now you have the bowling alley, and you have the mobile axe throwing in certain states. But I believe that the insurance for that would be extremely high for mobile axe throwing.
Okay,
and to me it's not as fun as bowling, obviously.
No, yeah. Bowling's great. Terrence, a lot of bowling is atmosphere, and you know, there's always extra people walking around the bowling lane. In fact, in spite of her 9-tap 300 and how embarrassing and what a travesty it was exciting to hear there were other people at the lane that were watching her bowl in the 10th frame. What do you have? I heard there might be, at least some people were saying, there might be a lounge above where people can watch the bowlers below?
Absolutely. So with the design of my bowling alley, we actually have a booth that sits up top. We call it the Sky Loft because you actually go up some stairs and you can actually look over the lanes and enjoy our theater while you're bowling.
Is there a sign that says Sky Loft?
Nope. Actually, there's a sign in the back in the back that says Bet on Yourself. And that was, and that's my personal statement. That's actually on the back wall.
I like that, but I would like to see a Skyloft sign just to make it official. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
And maybe maybe add a couple deep fryers too. Sell some some, you know, bowling alley food to the people.
The mini tacos.
I'm gonna get a food truck and just follow Terrence around.
Yeah, Terrence.
Hey, that's a great idea.
What about?
Are you an entrepreneur? You got to be an entrepreneur.
I'm going to. I like my mobile swimming pool idea, even though that truck would be pretty damn heavy.
All right, man, let's go in together.
Yeah, it'd be a thin swimming pool for sure.
Well, laps.
You know. What about popcorn, drinks, that sort of thing? I mean, if I provide that, is there a table to put stuff on?
So there isn't a table just because of the room on the inside is not a whole lot of space. But we encourage everyone to bring their own beverages. So it comes with cups, napkins, and ice, and you bring your own beverages aboard. We have two ice coolers in the back that you can actually keep your drinks cold and you can get ice from. And the actual attendant fills those up and makes sure that you have ice, cups, and napkins the entire night.
Sounds to me, it's
BYOB, bring your own drinks.
Right.
And enjoy.
It sounds to me like the personal assistant is like a concierge and should be tipped appropriately.
Sure.
Absolutely. And they do get tipped on the normal because people really enjoy our service, especially with the convenience of not having to leave your home. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big deal. When you look at everything that's happening in the world right now that is successful, in my eyes, is about convenience. Look at Amazon, Grubhub. All these things that you can do from your home. You don't have to move.
No, Terrence.
If I get a strike, will they run to the cab and then pull on the semi-horn?
Maybe we need to add something like that, man. I'm loving these ideas, man.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I love that. There ought to be something.
How far will you travel?
We have a 30-40-mile radius of Southfield, Michigan, which is where our headquarters is located.
That's pretty far.
So we do service like, you know, the Belleville, the Chesterfield Township, Novi, all those areas around the radius of Southfield, Michigan, metropolitan Detroit.
I mean, that's honestly, it's a great idea. Imagine for like graduation parties.
Oh, yeah.
You know, any party that's...
Yeah, we've serviced quite a few different parties. So we have graduation parties, wedding parties.
Yeah.
Just a night at the house party, bar mitzvah. I mean, whatever you can think of, we've done it.
You could have someone doing balloon tricks too if you had kids. I mean, I'm just throwing green light thinking.
I'm going to get that truck and follow them around too. I got a food truck and then a party.
Well, you know, my parents actually have a mascot business.
What?
Everybody in my family is entrepreneurs, so we all work together and put everything together.
Wait, I want to know more about this mascot business.
I might want the mascots coming. Screw the bowling. I want mascots running around my yard.
My parents have a mascot business. It's called 3525 Characters. You can find that on Instagram, where they have all the different characters, Baby Shark and SpongeBob SquarePants and a lot of different ones. And, you know, they add on to some of the parties that I have, but...
Huh.
To be honest, most of my parties, adults are enjoying. It's not, we do have a lot of kid parties, but it's a lot of adult parties that really just enjoy bowling and do it at their homes, to be honest.
I got to tell you, the excitement of having a bowling lane coming to me is overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I would think during COVID,
absolutely,
this would be a fabulous thing, a way to avoid having to go to a public place where there might be a lot of people walking around and might be uncomfortable. So,
absolutely.
How busy are you, Terrence? Are you busy enough, or would you like to be busier?
I mean, you always can be busier, but pretty much right now, we advise everyone to book 3 to 5 weeks in advance, especially weekends. Our weekends get booked up literally 3 to 5 weeks in advance already. And sometimes we have to squeeze in people on like a Saturday spot super early, like a 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., just to squeeze them in. But a lot of people have been getting really creative and doing like the breakfast and bowling or brunch and bowling. Sounds really classy to me, and people love it.
That's so cool.
So, you know, that's their way of getting that spot and making it happen. And I love it. I love what's been going on.
Okay, for that guy that's listening right now saying, give out the phone number. I got to do this. What's the easiest way to contact you, Terrence?
So the easiest way to contact us for booking is going on our website, where you can actually book and take a virtual tour of the world's first mobile bowling alley. It's www.luxurystrikebowling.com. And it's luxury, not lucky strike. It's luxury strike bowling. We give you luxury at your home. And cool. Also our number is 248-702-5411. And you can call me directly, and I'll take good care of you.
No, it's 5411. Does that spell bowl?
No, I wish it did.
That's another idea, though. Green light thinking. Just saying. You know, if it was 702 bowl, I like it. I mean,
absolutely.
Well, this is so cool. I think we're gonna have to set something up where we can somehow get bowling and our listeners, or just a select group of listeners involved. Maybe at Zot Ford or somewhere.
Oh, that'd be great.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yes. Let's do it. Let's put it together.
Absolutely.
I would love to, for you guys to experience it and. For others to experience is really, really, really fun.
Yeah, Terrence, congratulations. You know, if nothing else, this is such a great, you've moved the world forward.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, and I aspire to inspire. I want all the creatives to actually do more.
And congratulations on all of it. It looks so well done. And I want you to be sure to ask your mom if she did enjoy the show, and try to get a feel for what she thought of it. Either way.
Okay.
And hopefully she'll listen to the podcast, too, and to hear you.
Absolutely. She got to hear me.
Yeah, she got to. Terrence, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. So sorry that we had to bump you back. But
Not a problem. I thoroughly enjoyed myself speaking with you guys, and hopefully we'll do some bowling together soon.
Hell yeah.
Thanks, Terrence.
Thanks, Terrence. We appreciate it.
Not a problem. Have a great one.
Good luck.
All righty. Thank you.
All right. Luxury strike bowling.
10 frames. that's for quakers.
LuxuryStrike.com, 248-702-5411. How can you not be rooting for this guy?
My head was spinning there. I'm like, okay, what else can we put in a truck?
I know.
I want to start a business. What else can we put in a truck?
He needs a Skyloft sign, though. That's such a cool thing to call. It's got to be named properly. But anyway, if you do call Terrence, be sure to tell him you heard it on the show. As always, we're not making any money off this. I just want Terrence to know.
Yeah, no, he's a good dude.
Yeah, he is. And maybe, he's too.
100% owner, like you said, just like Sophia.
Exactly. Maybe we can get a deal if enough people call, and we can have him come somewhere. We can have a little contest or something like that. And then we, of course, can have the winner win something. Like, I don't know, maybe Terrence comes to your house. Who knows?
Sure.
The possibilities are endless when you start talking about something out of the box.
I have a feeling Maz will hijack it.
It does seem that Maz has to be part of it somehow.
Loves bowling. He loves bowling.
He would be the guy to beat, though, I guess.
Maz? Yeah, Maz would be the early favorite.
Yeah, because you haven't bowled in a long time.
No, I haven't.
I haven't bowled in a long time.
I think the idea of a beat Maz contest is exciting. We didn't mention this yesterday, did we? To Maz?
I don't remember if we did or not. We might. No, you know what? I don't think
it came up.
Did we?
I don't recall.
Crap.
There was so much else to talk to Maz about, like Get Smart and Jaime.
Bullshit. and not
Leo DeRocher being on the Munsters.
And not Joe Morgan dying.
and the horse.
I love anything that's old.
Sliding into home plate.
Oh, yeah.
There was so much.
That's horse shit.
As we start to set into fall. Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off their Jeep celebration event. I see something happening with Zot here because I know he wants to do something.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be fun.
That's just a starter. They're kicking off their Jeep celebration event. As you can imagine, it's going to be off the hook. If you love performance and fully off-road capable vehicles, then Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has you covered. In fact, let's start with the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass as low as $155 a month. How about a new 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive as low as $249 a month if you need a truck? Lease the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. How about pure performance? Poured into an SUV that drives like a sports car. Go lease a new 2020 Dodge Durango GT at just $343 a month. And you know the game. No Zot spot is complete without talking about the Jeep Wrangler. You want them, they got them. Plus, you still have time to custom order a Wrangler to your perfect specs. Get details and surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
Man, look at this hot chick on Wheel of Fortune.
You know, I saw her, Mark, when we first got on the phone with Terrence. She's really pretty.
I was going to change the station, but instead I rewound it because I want to learn more about Mercy.
I was going to say, she's still on? She's been on my TV for a long time.
I just noticed. Brandon and I used to play this game all the time because Brandon loves Wheel of Fortune whenever there was an attractive contestant on.
Her name is Mercy?
Isn't that her name? I thought that's what I saw. I'm trying to get it to the part where you get to meet him.
I'm trying to think what she looks like because she looks very...
The blonde or the brunette?
Brunette. She's kind of like girl next Dory.
She's got a very tight dress on. Here we go. Here's where we get to learn about
her. She does have a very tight dress on. That's true.
Mercy Mueller just won $1,000.
She's fresh from the tight dress store.
She's from Lancaster, California.
So start with your family.
I have a wonderful husband of 50.
Never mind. Oh, wait, okay. Let's give her another chance. I'm sorry. That was rude of me.
Lancaster, California.
Yeah.
To start with your family.
I have a wonderful husband of 15 years, mm-hmm. and I have two amazing daughters, a 7-year-old and a 15.
Once again, never mind.
Is she's got a very masculine voice, doesn't she?
Animals for movies. And
I think she has an accent.
You guys see a lot of dogs and such.
Looks like a pretty deep voice to me.
You train a giraffe? Or?
No, I haven't. My husband has.
Oh, has he really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good.
Well, at least she's keeping it tight for her husband.
Yeah, and she definitely went to went to the tight dress store to.
I think she's very pretty.
Wheel of
you
Fortune.
Said the brunette? I thought the blonde was hotter.
What?
Oh wait, let me see the blonde.
Are you serious?
I don't know, man. I'm looking at photos, so you're actually looking at.
Are you talking about the dude? Think he's hotter?
You're talking about Savas?
I might be onto that.
There we go. Riverside, California. Again, we'll start with your family. You're married, right?
I'm married to my wonderful husband, Randy. We have a blended family.
What's with the voices on these babes?
Kids. We all yours. Five kids.
Five kids.
Two more on the way. They're all five and under.
What?
That's quite a blend you got going there.
I don't know. I don't understand that math.
Week off as often as possible.
That's what we get for being distracted by Wheel of Fortune. Hey, I gotta tell you, the Royal Oak DDA has done something really incredible. You know, when you do direct mail or even direct digital, as I learned, because someone who does digital direct or what used to be direct mail but is now a combination of two things wrote me an email and said, this thing with the DDA sounds incredible, and they want to know how many people are actually spending the money.
Yeah.
So
the last couple of days have been insane. Have you seen the
No, it's madness. It's absolutely crazy how well this thing has gone for Royal Oak. Not to mention that people seem to have a great time and they'll write and say, "Hey, you know what? For having a $20 bill thrown in my pocket, I just couldn't believe how much fun we had. You know, we did this, we did that, and it was nice." And you know, Royal Oak, there's always something going on. There's people walking around, but not crazy in a like a, "Oh my God, I'm going to get COVID" way. It's, you know, restaurants are at 50% capacity.
No joke, before the show, when Carl was on, we were waiting to start and we were talking about it. And he's like, I was talking about him coming out here and he's like, "Yeah, I really want to go to Royal Oak. It sounds like a really good place." And then the advertising works. He started laughing.
But Royal Oak's great. I mean it. I've always been an advocate for Royal Oak, even before they were an advertiser on the show. I lived in Royal Oak, and now I live in Ferndale, so very close. And I love being close to Royal Oak. I feel like if I want to go watch a ball game, if I want to go out to eat, it's so close. Not to mention all the places in Ferndale. But anyway, this DDA thing.
Berkeley's pretty nice, too.
Berkeley's nice. I like Berkeley. I prefer Royal Oak.
Well, I mean, just meaning compared to Ferndale.
Anyway,
just starting to try it. Starting,
I think I prefer Ferndale to Berkeley Hills, to be honest.
A Berkeley, Ferndale, Royal Oak battle.
Rochester.
How is downtown Rochester these days? Because downtown Rochester seemed like it was trying to be like the Royal Oak North, maybe.
What?
Yeah. Try it one time.
It's very nice. It's just so far away.
We get Vinny Stubbs down here every once in a while dancing. It's October, mid-October, and we already got the Christmas lights going on, which means traffic down Rochester Road is going to suck balls.
The Christmas light thing is very well done. I will say that for downtown Rochester. They really went all out. But we're talking about Royal Oak. Rochester isn't paying us anything, and I've never lived there, so what are we talking about here? Anyway, the DDA just had a phenomenal idea to distribute $400,000 in Royal Oak bucks. First of all, how impressive that the DDA has this money sitting around for a pandemic and really unusual circumstances. But then to distribute it in $20 increments, and because 20 bucks is 20 bucks. And we asked people to sign up, and we couldn't believe how quickly people signed up for their 20 bucks, and they made it so easy. They just sent it back to you.
Very easy.
Digitally.
Yep, like a credit card.
It was so simple. And then people started spending it. We're like, oh, my God. We got 1,000 people have done this already. You know, the first week. It was like, let's see, 1,000 people, that's $20,000. And it was going slowly. It was like, you know, you'd have maybe 70 on a Monday, $1,400. You might have 60 on a rainy Wednesday, another $1,200, and on and on. And eventually it added up. And we're over $200,000 spent. And direct mail, direct digital, the guy that contacted me, who's been in the business for a long time, said, you know, it used to be with mail, sometimes if you got 3 to 5%, you were happy. With digital, it's a little easier. And, you know, if you get 12 to 15, it's great. But it looks like this thing is past the 50% mark. It's a smoking, wild success. And those of you who have not spent your $20 yet, you're probably getting a notice that, you know, you've got 10 days left to spend the money or whatever. And people are spending it before they're running out because they had over the weekend. How much did they get spent over the weekend?
I just keep seeing the emails and the numbers
are $5,900 one day. That was the most I've ever seen.
Yeah, the last couple of days were higher than I've seen.
I mean, they must have had 800 or 900 people just dumped into Royal Oak over the weekend to have fun, spend their $20, and spend in addition to the $20, which the businesses have all benefited so wonderfully from this. It's just been a great program. It's one of those win-win-win-win-win, and we win too because they're advertising here. So if you got your $20,
that's a nice place.
By all means, go have some fun in Royal Oak, which people have been doing, and hopefully we'll get some names on the people that won the $1,000 in downtown dollars, because that was a nice contest, too.
How big is your city?
Have a great time there. So there you go. And is there anybody else today? I think we're done.
I think that's everyone, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, Adam. Okay. So anyway, it's kind of fun to start out with Carl and Terrence, and that way it avoids getting into the usual crapola, which I'm so tired of. The Amy Coney Barrett thing was going on today, and it was actually on the TV for a short time, and it was exactly what I knew it would be.
Yeah,
she's getting every other person kisses her ass, every other person tries to drag out of her. What would you do about the Affordable Care Act?
It's just senators trying to get a sound bite for their re-election campaign next election. That's all. It's not a real hearing. And I kind of wish that, you know, someone that opposed her would just go, we all know which way everyone's going to vote. Can we just vote?
Exactly.
They did. Lindsey Graham said that right out of the gate. He said, by the way, all the Democrats are going to vote no. All the Republicans are going to vote
yes.
So
why are we doing this?
Right, so we're wasting everyone's time, including hers, and I don't even know what the point is.
Maybe she digs it. Maybe she likes the attention.
Well, the point is they're trying to get two people from their. If they just think, hey, maybe I'm the one with my words. I can change two of these Republicans' minds.
Or I'll get her to say, absolutely, nobody's getting an abortion once I'm a Supreme Court justice because she loses her mind from all the questioning. But no, she's not going to do that. And in fact, every time someone brings up an example, you know, the Affordable Care Act, if it's reversed, it's going to kill people. So how could you possibly do that? Well, I really don't know what the case is. If it came to, I would certainly abide by the law, blah, 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 blah. And if you watch this long enough, the prevailing thing, and this happened when Whitmer bitched about the emergency powers being overturned by the Michigan State Supreme Court.
Sure.
Which she said, in essence, that there are 4 red justices and there are 3 blue justices. Therefore, I lost and it's their fault. So what that makes me say is that once you know the judge is red or blue, the case is over before they ever see it. So these judges do not actually look at all the facts and do the proper thing according to the law. They essentially vote with their party.
Well, I think
it suggests?
I feel like the fact is missed on a lot of people that a lot of cases that get to the Supreme Court are nuanced segments of a law, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's one small little part that's applied in a way that I don't think people expect. Like when they talk about the Affordable Care Act missing, it's because they repealed the individual mandate.
Right,
where you have to have it or else you pay a tax. And so now it is, well, should that invalidate the whole law? That's the question. It's very nuanced. It's not whether or not the Affordable Care Act is legal or not, because they've already ruled on.
But if you're a red judge or a blue judge, I thought you were a judge who did the right thing based on the facts, and that was what you were supposed – that's your job. It seems to me I can be a judge if I just go red or blue. I can be a judge. I'm as good a judge as Amy Coney Barrett.
There's a certain lawyer I know that I argue about with whether or not judges are political.
Great lawyer.
My brother.
Oh, and which side does he argue?
He goes, no, they're not political. Like, but they're appointed by politicians, so therefore.
And she clerked for Antonin Scalia.
Once she's appointed, she can't be unappointed.
No.
She doesn't owe that person anything. It doesn't matter if she does everything Trump wants her to do.
I understand that. But I also understand that, look, everybody has political leanings one way or the other.
They do, and that's what's supposed to make a judge great, is that they throw all that aside, and they and I'm not saying, okay, I'm not completely naive. Obviously, if you are a liberal or you're a conservative, you want a judge who has that sort of lifestyle or that sort of mindset to be in the Supreme Court. But it just shouldn't matter that much. There should not be a judge who goes into this going, I'm going to kill a bunch of people because the Affordable Care Act, Trump hates it, the Republicans hate it, it's got to go, and I owe it to them. So fuck the facts. I mean, that's wrong. That's just wrong. Look,
come on, this is really all about what happened in 2016 and Merrick Garland. Isn't that really what it's about, what the battle is about for most people?
Well, it's more than that, though, because it's about having too many judges that are on the right as opposed to the left, because it's usually pretty very balanced.
But it really comes from that.
Yeah, it does. And every single person is making the opposite argument they made in 2016. Sure. So,
it's just so annoying.
In my opinion, it's more embarrassing than what happened in 2016, because every single politician is essentially declaring themselves a hypocrite by arguing the opposite side 4 years later.
Wouldn't a lot of this be solved if there were term limits or if there was just a amount of time? I really don't want our country to do it that way.
I really don't want to open Pandora's box and spend 20 minutes talking about term limits.
I just thought it was very nice of Dianne Feinstein to ask her to introduce her whole family. That was really valuable time.
You know, I...
They acted like that was the nicest thing ever. Because Feinstein, she's a Democrat. But my whole thought was, hey, Feinstein, don't you have a Google? Can't you just Google her family? It's just the way it's a...
I know. It's so stupid. And it's why are her kids there anyway?
Because what kid doesn't? What's her name? From Who's the Boss? Alyssa Milano.
Oh, yeah. Why is she?
Why isn't she at the signs?
I would think that her kids would be crying of boredom. Yeah. I think they all would be in tears 20 minutes into this thing, or they'd be on their phones. But because they're such good kids, they're watching with great interest, as if they're interested.
Surprised they didn't interrupt her. Go, Mom, you're almost done.
Is it halfway over?
Can I have my iPad?
This is so boring.
Or just walking up there looking for a charging cord to plug into where she's sitting.
Mom, where's the charger?
Or they start wrestling on the floor. Wouldn't that be great? I would think they were more normal kids if they did.
I know, they're sitting too still. It freaks me out. It's part of that cult she's in.
So anyway, I call this the United States of... Yeah, it's because of the cult that they're able to... They've given them some collateral.
At least the girls...
All the kids have given nude photographs of themselves doing something horrific in the nude, and they're going to be released if they don't behave. So someone sent me this just to point out what assholes we all are. And it's I've never heard of this person. Robin Given, G-I-V-H-A-N, I think it is. She's a writer for The Washington Post. And it was the tone of her article that just really annoyed the person that sent this to me, and I just wrote down a few notes. And it was, opening day for Amy Coney Barrett was child obsessed. Over 5 hours of children as talking points and proof of unraveling, unwavering conservative values. Hard to recall Senate Judiciary meetings so focused on the well-being of our youngest citizens. Republican could hardly deliver an opening statement without referring to the 7 Barrett kids. The feat of parenting left them gobsmacked with admiration and utterly mystified as to how a two-parent household with significant financial resources was capable of wrangling such a large brood without the missus having oatmeal on her clothes. Barrett had it all on terms acceptable to social conservatives. They spent an inordinate amount of time crowing about her school-aged children, her two adopted children, and the sheer number under her care. To hear Republicans tell it, children are the most remarkable and distinguished qualification Barrett has. They felt compelled to shine a light on the two kids adopted from Haiti. Are they not all her children? Shouldn't they be... Wait, shouldn't they be...
Well, that's stupid.
Shouldn't they be discussed as such? Highlighting their adoption was a way for Republicans to vouch for her embrace of diversity.
Well, come on. She...
No, I mean, isn't that just... I mean, how fucking rude
anybody
is that?
Anybody that adopts...
She's raising seven kids. It's amazing. Don't take it out on her or her kids.
Chose to adopt
two kids. How can you not respect that?
From Haiti. I mean, that's incredibly admirable.
She didn't do it, so she would be looked at as a diverse country. Parent.
I know how tough it is to have just two kids. I couldn't imagine having seven. I couldn't imagine having five and then going, hey, what would make this better? Two more. Bring them on.
It is fucking amazing. I mean, it truly is.
And but then again, she's had all these advantages, Drew.
Well, this is what Ace, because once she became a judge and started getting some money, this is, she was quoted saying this.
I was thinking about adopting two kids from each continent around the world.
Dems ignored her children. They spoke of the children of their constituents and the many ways they would suffer if the Affordable Care Act were dismantled.
It's just factually untrue because we just talked about Dianne Feinstein.
Healthcare was their singular focus. Senator Durbin had a poster-sized picture of Carrie, someone with a congenital heart ailment whose, I guess, their medical stuff cost over $1 million and the Affordable Care Act covered it. And Amy Klobuchar had a photo of twins who needed the American Disability or the ACA for, I forgot what, diabetes and something else. But, I mean, it was just, it's just so rude and crappy. And, I mean, what, I just don't know what the point of this is. That they were using manipulative techniques to get her confirmed. When have they not done stuff like that? And why are you taking it out on her kids?
I don't know. I guess
she thinks that Republicans hate children and Democrats love children because they love the Affordable Care Act, and they're less impressed by someone adopting two black children from Haiti and raising seven children.
I would think adopting two kids from Haiti, no matter who you are, is a pretty amazing thing and should be lauded as such.
I can't imagine any other way, although some people have called her a colonizer of... of African American kids.
Hey, Mitch! Okay. Well,
what is wrong with people?
It's funny you do mention. I mean, that was a reference to Mitch Albom because he always talks about his orphanage in Haiti, and we rag Mitch a lot. But come on, that orphanage does good work. I mean,
I'm sure they do.
He does fit it into a column every week, but
it's a work.
Mitch on TV.
I mean, if every. Every decision Amy Coney Barrett writes, and she puts that in there in her decision about adopting two kids, I might have a problem with it. But overall, it's a good thing.
Oh, it's pretty laudable. But, you know.
I mean, ask those kids, would they rather be in Haiti or in Amy Coney Barrett's house? I mean,
yeah, but when you yell at them, when you have to scold them, you have to say.
Well, guess what? You're never going to find your birth parents.
Oh, Jesus. Did you have to pause that much at the beginning?
Sorry, there was a delay.
This thing about the fact that they highlighted her two adopted children and that. That this is somehow suggesting they're separate from her other kids. Aren't they all her children?
Yeah, she's the one saying
and
that.
And that this is some way to vouch for her embrace of diversity. I mean, it really sort of, you know, on a subtle level implies that she adopted two black kids so she could get away with
for
being a Supreme
game.
Court justice who is going to judge by the law and not by her conservative
that
values.
Unfortunately, is far too cynical even for me. You know, that's really.
I just thought the whole thing was rude. Even though we know that, yes, they manipulate and they'll do anything to get their way or the way that keeps them elected. I just thought picking on her, it just seems like it's picking on her kids a bit, but whatever. You know, maybe a lot of people really related to this. And the idea, too, that, and this is the tone of the article that. The Democrats ignored her children because they're worried about the children of their constituents who are about to be killed by this woman. Who cares how many kids she's raising and how diverse her kids are? She wants to kill her constituents, women! Kids. She would be the only justice, by the way, that didn't attend Harvard or Yale.
I know, she mentioned that.
Isn't that fucking amazing?
And I think maybe I could teach him a little bit about football.
Did she say that?
Yeah,
she's like, even though I won't be the only one from Harvard or Yale. I do. Notre Dame's pretty good. Maybe I can even teach him a little bit about football.
Notre Dame's not that good.
And then someone said, why? Because you have a black son you adopted? Actually, no one said that. I just came up with that now.
By the way, what's going on with Notre Dame's football team? I know they have a ton of COVID. Are they winning games?
Well, they beat that really great program in Florida State. Florida State, what a debacle that became in like 3 years.
Oh, yeah. They really did fall apart.
They're doing fine. They'll probably be in the playoff.
Well, you know, to bring this up, before anyone sends an email saying that I love Amy Coney Barrett.
All that being said, yeah, the Affordable Care Act should probably rule against it.
Drew, it's different this time around because of all the justices, there's only really two, and that would be Clarence Thomas and Stephen Breyer, who were appointed when I just don't remember because they were appointed in like 91
Thomas was
and 94.
Thomas was in 91.
Sure.
Yeah. But, I mean, John Roberts was 05 and Alito 06 and Sotomayor was 09 and Kagan was 10 and Gorsuch 17 and Kavanaugh 18. And this one will be obviously 2020. So I did live through as an adult the most, you know, the most recent seven. And I don't remember anything about them. Like, I only remember the news flash that says, hey, by the way, they are going to be justices now. But these last two, Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh, it's a spectacle. It's a hearing
but
that
see, I disagree.
They're already vetted, too.
I think Amy Coney Barrett is not been a spectacle. I think it's right on par with Gorsuch and how that
it's
went.
It's been a
I think
spectacle. Kavanaugh, I mean, not her personally, you know, but online. The fact, I mean, it's part of the debate, the fact that how could he do this?
That's how online has grown, but and because of the timing of it. But Kavanaugh was so bad because, personally, I didn't like his fucking demeanor when he was up there.
Well,
that was
the only reason I'll defend him is because the guy was accused of raping someone when he was 17 years old. He was accused of gangbang
sure.
lines
no, I
at high school parties, and that's fucking insane. I mean, can you imagine? I see. This is what I say about people who want to run for president now, and I'll say this for Supreme Court justices too. I think they've got to be mentally ill to put themselves through this and to put your family through that kind of shit. I think it's crazy because you know it's coming.
Hey, maybe they're just like serving the public.
Yeah, maybe they do, but I still wouldn't. I would not do something like that for what it would do to your family. I mean, look at what happened to
if two are adopted from Haiti.
Well, yeah, I would even want to put them through less. But the only point I was trying to make was I was trying to tell you, do not email me bitching about this because I am pro-choice. And okay, you can email me and bitch about that. And so if Amy Coney Barrett is indeed going to dismantle the Affordable Care Act and kill children, and if indeed she's going to overturn Roe v. Wade, I'm not in favor of that. So don't bitch at me. I'm just pointing out that I just thought that whole – just the spirit of that article was just nasty.
Yeah,
just
clearly.
You know, you're talking about seven kids – pretty fucking impressive, if you ask me, but oh well.
I would agree with that.
I didn't mean to spend that much time on it.
I think most people would agree with it.
This morning, though, I actually laughed at the lead story, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on this either, but they opened up with, and I can carry this into the local situation, too. They opened up with the rallies yesterday, and you've got where are my notes? You got the Trump rally where he is standing up there dancing to YMCA.
Yeah.
He's throwing masks to people, to the crowd.
That's right.
He's talking about he wants to kiss everyone.
Yeah.
He wants to kiss the guys. He wants to kiss the girl. I want to just come in the audience and kiss everybody.
Because he's immune.
And he's just on fire. He's just so fired up. And there's a huge crowd. And the story is about how the Florida governor's not wearing a mask, and Trump had no mask when he got an Air Force One. And then they go to the Biden rally, and the Biden rally is talking to people who are in their cars. Not only in their cars, the cars are socially distanced. The cars are socially distanced. Did you see this?
I did not, no.
Put on Good Morning America at about 7:03. I'm telling you, this is really, it just looks so silly to me. And I understand he's following the rules. And those who are following the rules are, of course, livid because Trump is not following the rules. But it just looks So why does everyone have to leap? I mean, 2020, it is officially a leap year. Everyone has to leap and go to the next level that they don't even have to go to, which would also qualify for Kamala Harris, who wouldn't go on the Senate floor for the Amy Coney Barrett hearings.
Just
because
stupid.
Because why? Because...
Because I think Senator Lee was there, who was just had a positive test a week ago.
So it's not safe. She can't sit 100 feet away from him with a mask on.
Oh, come on. That, once again, political theater.
No, I know, but it's a leap. It's a gigantic leap. She does not have to catch COVID from the senator who has not had, what'd you say? He hasn't had a test in a week?
I think he had a positive test, what, a week ago? 10 days
from
ago?
From the Supreme Court thing?
He was at the event where Amy Coney Barrett
That's
was.
That's right. Yeah.
I really believe that she could put a mask on and stay 20 feet away and be fine.
Hello, Toledo.
Oh, go back to, I'm sorry, go back to Trump so you can see him boogieing and going crazy and wanting to make out.
I mean, that is weird. We do know there's been positive tests from his rallies.
No, absolutely. No, you have one extreme. You have the extreme of him talking to a rally. There are people wearing masks, but there are people not wearing masks. And the Florida governor's not wearing a mask. He's high-fiving people.
COVID diagnosis, throwing out masks to supporters in the battleground of Florida.
And they love pointing it out.
I got to say, masks, not the best things to throw. Kind of boomerang back.
Well, he was sort of frisbeeing them.
They came right back. That
did
one.
They? Yeah. I didn't even see
it. Bragging about just how great he feels.
I feel so powerful. I'll walk into that audience. I'll walk in there. I'll kiss everyone in that audience. I'll kiss the guys and the beautiful women and everybody. I'll just give you a big fat kiss.
Cool.
That audience standing shoulder to shoulder.
Grab him by the pussy.
So cool.
Including the state's own governor.
USA! USA!
And as he left the White House and boarded Air Force One, the president also not wearing a mask.
Okay.
In a new letter, White House Dr. Sean Connolly says President Trump is not infectious.
This is Sean
Connery.
Not probably a great idea, but watch the Biden rally.
In the battleground of Ohio, an entirely different scene. Joe Biden supporters socially distant in their cars, honking their horns instead of applause. Biden painting himself as the grown-up in the race. Calling the president's behavior since contracting COVID unconscionable.
The longer Donald Trump is president, the more reckless he seems to get.
The nation's top infectious disease expert now says he has no plans to step down, despite his dismay.
That was what I was wanting to show, just the difference in the two rallies. They're both over the top in opposite directions.
Yep, I would agree.
Leap after leap after leap. And then this is the most incredible thing that I saw was that the reporters refused to cover the Trump rally. Then I'm watching Channel 4 News because it was too dangerous. Then I'm watching Channel 4 News at 4 o'clock, and they did a story on the Eric Trump, which is like, Eric, people go to an Eric Trump rally, really? But I guess they do. And it was indoors, which was deemed too dangerous. So Channel 4's reporter didn't go inside, so they didn't have any footage because it was too dangerous. And I couldn't help thinking about, and I realized they're trying to make a point that, you know, that Trump is so reckless and this is crazy and it doesn't follow the protocols that Dr. Fauci has in mind. But don't you think that maybe if Bob Woodruff can take an IED in Iraq, that one of those people could attend that rally and put a mask on and keep a little distance? Wouldn't it be possible to cover that? Would it really be that dangerous?
You're probably right. It's probably more of a statement, but I would understand someone that wouldn't want to be.
Well,
do they fly?
Are
they
really?
Fly,
are they really? Are they really an aggressive reporter? If you're too afraid to go to a Trump rally and stand 10 feet away with a mask on,
do they fly in Air Force One?
The reporters, not the Channel 4 reporters, sure didn't.
Okay. But the White House reporters do. I don't know. Would you want?
They couldn't arrange any other transportation.
Well, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying. If you know. Bob Woodruff took a fucking IED in Iraq. They're war correspondents who put themselves in the face of, in my opinion, crazy danger. So to imply that, you know, this is just too much for a reporter to be expected to, you know, potentially get COVID when they don't have to get COVID. I mean, they don't have to be in the middle of the crowd yelling for Trump. And, you know, I don't know why people do that. But I don't know why all these reporters, and this is probably going to be a thing, I'm guessing, in the next couple of days when he goes to Pennsylvania. Sure. And where else is he going? that'll be the new thing, is that we would have more, but the reporter would not cover it because it's too dangerous.
Some of them have contracted COVID from
He's
the
going
White
everywhere.
House.
That Sarasota rally.
Well, don't
honestly,
they wear masks?
Yeah.
Then why are they getting COVID?
You can still get it. It's like a condom.
Well, I know, but I mean.
100%.
I don't understand why anybody has to get COVID by going to a Trump rally.
Well, you don't have to, but
no, you could.
Do you
in other
take
words,
that risk.
I guarantee you, I could go to a Trump rally and it would not be a risk. I would wear my mask. I would not stand near anybody. I would just stand.
Would you fly an Air Force
I
One?
I don't know. But did you see Sarasota?
Probably, with a mask on, I probably would. But no, I don't really want to fly in a plane, to be honest.
But nobody was socially distanced in Sarasota at that most recent Florida rally. They were tight. They were packed in like sardines.
No, I
agree.
That
was the largest gathering I've seen since COVID and the initial shutdown started.
No, I agree with you, Brandon. But you don't have to cover it from the middle of the crowd. You can cover it from 20 feet away from the crowd.
Hope you brought some condoms.
Yeah, if you're a lousy reporter.
Who says you have to be right next to the crowd or in the middle of the crowd? I've never seen a reporter
in
the middle of the crowd.
They're not. They're back. They're usually back where the cameras are.
So what are they so scared of?
I don't know. My guess when I first heard that was, they probably fly on Air Force One with the whole rest of the pool.
You will all get Pulitzer Prizes, okay? You're going to all get Pulitzer Prizes.
So if Trump wore a mask on the plane, they would fly.
Well, it's not just about him. I mean, what were there 20 people that worked in the White House that contracted?
No, but are they all on the plane?
I don't know.
They can't fly commercial.
They couldn't go.
There's no way. Okay, maybe there's no way.
Let me ask you this: is the implication you feel like they're making a statement?
Yeah, I feel like they're being pussies, really.
Okay,
because when reporters, there are people
pussies
who are
making a statement.
There are war correspondents who go to war who are literally watching people. I mean, remember Bernard. Bernard King,
Shaw?
Not Bernard King, Shaw. Bernard Shaw,
the basketball player.
And the three reporters under the table in Iraq.
Of course.
And I'm not saying everyone should do that or take that kind of risk, but I mean, reporters have taken great. Donovan Webby,
yeah,
Webby,
well,
my buddy.
He took terrible risks.
He covered the tsunami. Yeah, well, I know. But that is more to do with his depression than with what he covered. But just, I don't know. I got to believe Bob Woodruff is probably going, really? You can't cover the event? I mean, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
It just seems very wussified for a reporter. I mean, to say that, I stood 20 feet away from the crowd because I didn't want to get COVID because...
Do we know who the reporters are? Just out of curiosity.
No, they didn't say. They just said that they would not send a reporter. In other words, I think that the...
Oh, so it's not even the reporters'
decision. I don't think it's the reporters'.
Okay, well, that's totally different then. That's a little more ridiculous.
Yeah, it may well have been the reporters' decision. I think they said it in Good Morning America, but I just thought, it's another leap. You know, we don't want to kill our reporters so they can't cover this event. And by the way, I don't really know, but the people from the Amy Coney Barrett thing, which was, what's today? Tomorrow's Wednesday. This is Wednesday's show, so that was, how long ago was that? 2 weeks ago? The Trump?
Yeah.
Wait, wasn't it on the weekend?
Yeah, it was on.
So it was 2 weeks. 2 weeks and 3 days ago.
16 days or so. Yeah.
What is the status of all the people that got it? Do we know? Is anybody in the hospital or anything?
No. I mean, well, Christie got out.
I figured Christie. If anybody's going to die, it's going to be Christie.
He died like a dog.
I mean, the guy is way overweight.
I know.
Notre
Dame president, who's 100 years old,
and who was on a junket. How old is the Notre Dame president?
100, I think. I heard.
Are you kind of surprised that every Supreme Court justice went to Harvard or Yale? Isn't it kind of annoying?
Oh, it's incredibly annoying.
I would think that someone would say...
Most people in politics, Drew, went to Harvard and Yale.
No,
most
I know.
Of them.
It's kind of crazy that those two schools have virtually...
At least Joe Biden went to Delaware State.
Yeah, and not...
Just ask him.
Well, are you sure that's not the one that he didn't go to?
It is the one he did not. That's the black, historically black college, sort of. It's Delaware State. I think he went to Delaware, right?
Somebody sent me the 25 lies of Joe Biden. I'm like, oh, boy.
What?
I know. I mean, they're all...
Trump's never lied.
No. Not at all. Gal Gadot. I don't know.
Boy, did she throw someone under the bus with these comments.
Wait, which comments are you talking about?
About the Imagine video.
Yeah, she said that she had... She had only pure motives, and she had no idea, that this was going to happen.
You didn't see who she threw under the bus?
No, who'd she throw under the bus? Oh, is it, she threw the Saturday Night Live girl under the bus.
Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, she called Kristen Wiig, and Kristen Wiig got all these people together, and was like, all of a sudden, I had nothing I can do.
Basically, it's Kristen Wiig's fault for making it too big.
She's the mayor of Hollywood.
I thought that was so shitty. Just admit it was a stupid idea.
I have to admit, I was surprised to see Kristen Wiig in it and Will Ferrell because, like,
I guess they're friends.
Oh, do there have to be people I like in this thing? Because the whole thing was so stupid. But I want to say this about Gal Gadot. First of all, I give her, she's very hot. I give her a pass because it was the first thing that was done.
Yeah.
I felt like after that, there were some, it's like, you've seen what happens. Why are you doing this? Like the I take responsibility one. Terrible. That one, I wanted to shoot all those people.
I take exception. Take I do not think that it was the first thing. I'm pretty sure that I saw.
We both know it shouldn't be.
Oh, and the hand washing videos. Oh, they're so dumb. They're just so dumb. I can't stand it.
I like this statement from Gal Gadot. I meant to do something good and pure. And it didn't transcend.
Transcend?
So you wanted to transcend with that?
What did she want to transcend?
And I will spank my butthole a little bit.
I don't understand what she wanted to transcend. That's she wanted to
ridiculous.
Send light and love to the world. Well, there's your first mistake, because the world clearly does not want any light or love from anybody.
Well, I have to tell you something. There's no one who can just, in a random way, just suddenly decide, I want to send light and love to the world. So here's what I'm going to do have it work.
I'm going
to
tweet that out. How should I phrase this? But just then, sending out, just sending light and love out to the world.
Then the other thing is that she's getting crap because she took the job playing Cleopatra.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because it's tone deaf and it's whitewashing Cleopatra. Well, it turns out Cleopatra was Greek and Macedonian.
Yeah.
And Gal Gadot is perfectly within her genetic right to play Cleopatra because she's Jewish and she's from Ashkenazi. I didn't even know where that is.
So,
but apparently it's
okay. How many people
were
pissed off at Elizabeth Taylor for doing that shit?
Yeah. Elizabeth Taylor wasn't she Jewish?
Well, she had violet eyes.
Angelina Jolie played Cleopatra too.
Was anyone mad at Elizabeth Taylor? I don't remember hearing a word about it, but I was a kid, so what would I know?
No, because people didn't care about shit.
No, they
like
didn't
that
care.
Back then.
No.
The good old days.
Yeah, the good old days. Okay, from the Michigan hearing today. Oh, this thing is just so absolutely nuts. They were taking testimony at the hearing for the kidnapping or the devised kidnapping of Governor Whitmer. And before I get to that, there was a guy arrested in the three homicides, the six-year-old boy, his dad and his dad's girlfriend. They arrested a 37-year-old man. And this story, I'm dying to know how they got him because – you know, Trick had that thing about, you're not Crips if you don't give this guy up. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, why the Crips? No, I mean, is it really that the Crips are that big? I mean, are gangs are that huge here that they know every hit and everybody that gets murdered? And,
I don't want to try them.
No, I don't either. But anyway, there was, he put up money and somebody else put up money and that's all great. And it could have been me because they arrested a guy at his home in West Bloomfield, and I used to live there. It could have been me. It could have been me.
Like, that could have been me.
It's gonna be me.
So I've been following this story, and every time there's a story about this triple murder, you know, which is just horrible. I mean, I don't know. How do you make it any worse? It's just horrible. People, for some reason, just have to be assholes and comment and say, where's BLM? Because three black people have been murdered. Where's BLM?
Did this guy work for the government or the public?
Well, I don't even want to get into that whole conversation, but what do you mean? Three people are dead and they're trying to find out who did it. Well, what you want protests every night over this too? I mean, who fucking cares? So today, this apparently this is the same person who is the first commenter who said, "Where's BLM?" So then, of course, people have to rip him a new ass and point out that the killer is European. He's from West Bloomfield. Nah, 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 nah.
Oh, Jesus.
People are really sick. I mean, people are, so many people feel, it just seems like so many people are mentally ill right now. What is wrong with these people? Have they always been like this?
Now I'm going to go down this road. Was he really European?
That's what they said. I don't know. He looked kind of European,
just
I guess.
Just basing it on the last name. I don't know what.
If I looked at him, I guess I would have said he was white.
Yeah.
And so
I would have just said white.
People were taunting, saying, ha ha, he was white.
Oh my God.
It's like,
who cares?
What the man, these people are dead no matter what. Who cares where, why are you bringing up BLM? Who cares what BLM is? And why are you so happy that he's white? The people are, nah, 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 nah. I mean, it's just the whole thing is just nauseating. I mean, no, can anyone grow up, please, a little bit?
I think the interesting thing in this case is, I don't know if you heard Chief Dwyer talking about hoping the feds would get involved.
Yeah.
So that way there could be a death penalty in this case, which is kind of an interesting take on it. I mean, it was over drugs, so there was something that crossed state lines, and bring the feds in.
So it was over drugs.
That's what he said in the press conference.
Did you say specifically or just that?
He just said drugs and money.
Okay. And the kidnapping plot hearings today, Caleb Franks, who's one of the guys, apparently wanted to set fire to her vacation home.
Yeah.
Using the leaves her husband raked, apparently. No, I'm just kidding. too soon. And Daniel Harris was pushing to shoot and kill her. But he was fine with killing her, and it was suggested posing as a pizza delivery guy, which I thought was, that's not a good idea. Why would she have a pizza coming if she didn't have a pizza coming? Why would she believe that the pizza delivery guy was at the door? It's not great. That I'm trying to help anyone kill her.
I guess that's funny. When I heard, I assumed that he was just going to sit out there until she ordered a pizza and then take that guy's uniform.
Well, that'd be one way to do it.
I feel like he's also plagiarizing that Roy Den Hollander guy. Who took the FedEx uniform.
Oh, God, that guy. Jesus.
Yeah, but it's very similar to that.
They wanted to leave her in the middle of Lake Michigan. I didn't really understand that. Were they going to put her in a rowboat and put her in the middle of Lake? Really?
That's
alive.
Yeah, he was going to put her in a boat. And he said it wasn't going to be a rowboat. It was going to be an engine and kill the engine.
And she was going to be alive in it?
Yeah, and then my thought was, wait.
I support the Great Lakes.
Are you in the boat or is another boat picking you up? I'm really confused with this plan here.
So what if another boat came along and rescued her?
I guess they'd just rescue her.
Would they have somebody detouring the other boats, waving them, hey, over this way, there's a taxing it up ahead.
Maybe he thinks it's international waters and no one will be there and anything goes.
It just seemed like an odd thing to say. There was also talk of wanting to kill and kidnap Ralph Northam, the Virginia governor.
He of moonwalking fame?
Yeah. I mean, that harmless governor of Virginia who wore blackface 40 years ago and wanted to moonwalk at the press conference where he apologized. I mean, how can you not like that guy a little bit? I mean, certainly you don't want to murder that guy.
Wants to take away the Second Amendment in Virginia.
Yeah.
And there was also discussion of overthrowing Michigan's capital by targeting the police, who they were doxing. They were in the process of doxing as many police as they could. And they would... they would disable all the police cars with, what were they going to use? I guess they would bomb the cars so they couldn't respond when they took over, overthrew the Michigan Capitol in Lansing and instigate civil war. But they had surveilled Whitner's vacation home. Kidnapping her to a secure location in upper northern Wisconsin to have her on trial for treason. I guess they'd have to kidnap a defense attorney, too, and a judge. Wouldn't they?
I guess, you
have a trial
and a jury.
So this bond hearing, you know, naturally the attorneys representing these guys are trying to get them bond, and they, you know, I seems like there is usually bond if you haven't, you know, committed the crime. Although I guess with a murder for hire, for example, where they infiltrate it, I guess they might not give somebody bond for that. But there was a lot of suggestion that the informant was egging these people on
because he was getting paid
to do this stuff.
You knew they were going to go that angle.
Of course, yeah. But I guarantee you the bond, I don't think there are any of them are getting bond, but which is a lot tighter than what you see for sometimes when people actually shoot another person. They will get bond, but these people will not get bond.
Oh, it's kind of like Tiger King, huh? So they were, you know, they pretty much wanted him to say the right words, and then they arrested him. Just like Joe Exotic. We should get him out of prison.
Well, hopefully Trump will pardon him. So he can get some, I don't know, I'm kind of worn out on Tiger King and What's-Her-Face. And
is that Joe Exotic? That's Joe Exotic?
Tiger King's over. And I saw Dateline had a piece on the missing husband. I'm like, no. I don't want to hear any more about that guy.
It's over.
I don't want to hear more about anything.
Tell me when you arrest the lady, and then I'll take an interest.
And then I'll ignore it like 2 minutes after I read that headline.
And then there was also testimony about the day that one of the defendants, the guy from Delaware, brought his chemistry set to the site. And the neighbors said they heard a loud bomb blast at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And then they heard gunshots volleying, and they'd heard gunshots in the middle of the night too. And they said, well, it wasn't really that unusual for that, for where
ready
they
for
live.
A bomb.
And Sean Lee was talking about the FBI agent or on, let's see, wait. Oh, that the Wolverine Watchmen, there were multiple members who were alarmed by this plot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I guess the one became the informant.
Yeah,
that's a great name.
Well, once again, see, Facebook brings all these people together, but you're also bringing that one person who's probably going to have the wherewithal to go. It's getting a little too serious.
Yeah, that it happens a lot. I mean, more often than not.
I don't know. You know, it happens.
Maybe. So anyway, storm the State House, kidnap Gretch, and firebomb all the MSP vehicles that they were going to do. And then three of the men wanted to kill her right then.
Whoa.
Not kidnap her. They didn't want to have the trouble of being around her, I guess. Or they just want to get it done. Do it. Get it done.
On ML today, I mean, that was the main topic. And basically about how he had to deal with it from a reporting standpoint, which is kind of interesting. Uh-huh. You know, that thing drops and it's like, you know, free press team, go. Just kind of interesting, like, where he went and how he, you know.
I have a question.
Sure.
Red team, go! Wanted to cover a Trump rally, wouldn't he cover it? Would he say, oh, I can't, it's too dangerous?
No, he's immune. He's already had COVID.
No, I mean, if he hadn't had COVID, though, wouldn't he put a mask on and just go there and stand away from people?
I would think he would, because he's covered plenty of things where he's had to wear a mask, namely a lot of the protests and stuff.
But I think reporters who are as dogged as ML Elric or Charlie LaDuff, they're a little danger. ML's been covering the protests. There have been rubber bullets. You got hit with a rubber bullet.
But that's why I you know, my tune changed a little bit when you said it was the agencies, not the individual.
I don't know. Honestly, I'm not sure about that. I think in some cases it may have been the reporters.
But if it was the agency and your White House reporter doesn't want to go, you have another one you could assign to go. But then again, raises the question is how newsworthy is the Trump rally?
Well, he's running for president.
I mean, but there's like five a week.
I would expect them to cover him. I mean, honestly, I don't know. It's you know, maybe I'm making too big a thing out of it. I just, when they said that, and then Channel 4 said the same thing, I just couldn't help thinking about how much danger reporters typically put themselves in the face of. I mean, real live danger. And then people saying, I'm not going to this Trump rally because there are people that wear masks and it's not safe. It just, I understand it's not safe. Or maybe you think it's not safe to get in the middle of it, but that doesn't mean you couldn't, whatever. Tiffany Trump had an unsafe party too.
Saw that, yeah.
She had a birthday bash at a restaurant in Florida. And after they spent 2 minutes talking about how unsafe it was, they said that Miami has no restrictions. So actually everything she did was within the law, which also seemed very, I mean, they essentially made that sound very dumb too, which Miami has no restrictions. None.
No, Republican governor and Republican mayor.
Oh, Miami's mayor is Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And how bad is Florida right now?
It's a great
question. How does that happen?
How does what happen?
Is Miami the largest city with a Republican mayor?
That's a great question.
I think San Diego is up there. I want to say Tulsa.
San Diego's not that big.
I want to say Tulsa, maybe.
Tulsa's 57th.
Maybe it is Miami. Maybe Miami
it's
is
It's got to be Miami, because Miami's a top 15 city.
But think about it, Brandon. There's a lot of Cuban refugees there who tend to go Republican.
I have the top 50 largest cities in America.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron Nirenberg is an independent in San Antonio, so he's not a Democrat. Kevin Falconer is a Republican in San Diego.
The Falconer. What rank is San Diego?
Oh, God. Is that like 20?
Nine?
Yeah, not market size, city size.
City size.
Not thinking about the market, thinking about the size of the city.
I wouldn't have thought
like
that
Jacksonville,
city was
I think, is a very large city, but not a very big market.
No,
so he is
Jacksonville's
the biggest
not.
One, yes. And then
Phoenix is
Jacksonville has a Republican, too.
There you go.
Phoenix is a very large city and not a and not as big a market.
Yeah.
Kill a minute or two. I gotta get something to drink. My mouth is parched.
I mean, we are at 2.5 hours.
Yeah, and we got Mike Clark stuff coming up.
This is gonna be a
5-hour episode today.
So Brandon, I tweeted out about sending out light and love to the world.
Oh, I'll read.
And I misspelled the word world at first.
You
I left out the L, so it looked even dumber. So I deleted that one, and then I wrote it the right way and wrote hashtag take two. And the responses weren't very positive at first. It's kind of sad. I don't know what's wrong with people. They don't want to send out light and love to the world.
You sound like a goddamn pussy to me. Is one response that I see.
What? It's not my word. I should have quoted. No, I didn't want to quote Gal Gadot. I'd rather people pile on me. If you want to pile on for that, this is more about you than it does about me.
I'd like to pile on Gal Gadot.
Yeah. Hey, did we ever play Kanye West's campaign ad? Is that even worth playing now? Everyone's probably seen it.
I haven't seen it.
What's going on with this
dude? I am aware that he's running for president. I didn't see him on my ballot when I completed my ballot. He was not on there. So
you
got to
write him in. The ad's about writing him in. I feel like he's running for God, by the way, watching the ad.
America. What is America's destiny? What is best for our nation, our people?
Not
what
Kanye.
Is just, true justice? We have to think about all these things together as a people. To contemplate our future, to live up to our dream, we must have vision. We as a people will revive our nation's commitment to faith, to what our Constitution calls the free exercise of religion, including, of course, prayer. Through prayer, faith can be restored. We as a people are called to a greater purpose than ourselves.
Okay.
We are not only a beacon to the world, but we should be servants to each other, to encourage each other, to help each other, to lift up each other, our fellow Americans, that we may all prosper together. We have to act on faith with the sure knowledge that we are pursuing the right goals and doing the right things.
My problem with it is that it's, what, a minute 22?
It's
like that. You can't buy a minute 22. It's going to be 60 or 90.
How do you sell that to a,
This is how anal of us. We're talking about the Kanye ad.
Oh, a minute 20. It's a minute 22?
Yeah.
God, that's a weird length for an ad. it's really weird.
I feel like
I want to hear talking about Kanye West, and I approve this message.
I am Kanye West, and I approve this message.
He sounds like a president saying that.
I think right in Kanye West. I wonder how many votes he'll get.
I don't know. How did you think of his ad?
I thought he was running for God. I thought it was very religious, which, whatever.
Well, sure. It's Kanye West. Why don't you play the...
We did.
I
mean, we played almost all of it.
Oh, okay.
Well, I hate God, you heathen.
I know. I love God. I think he's I think he / she is a wonderful being. Doesn't mean I want it in government.
Spiritually.
What does that mean?
I'm praying for you. That's what that means.
I told you before, I want to send out light and love to the word.
So in today's Mike Clark, by the way, the mashup of Mike Clark bits, we will hear about his infamous motorcycle crash.
Oh, yeah. That's
which
a good one.
I never knew about. So
explains a lot. It even may have contributed to his death.
Really?
Yeah, because he messed up his legs so bad.
Oh, yeah.
That he never properly rehabilitated it, and he never got his knee replaced, and that's what kept him
sedentary. Yeah,
yeah, he was so sedentary, he wasn't moving around, and a couple different doctors actually told me. And back in the day, Mike Novak, that he needed to get that replaced because he needed exercise. And he needed just like regular people exercise, if nothing else. Or just walk the dog exercise. Oh, no. I think Mike, no, he admitted it didn't kill him, but it didn't help him. But that was him. No, that's him. He wasn't going
to
do it.
Hey, as Mike would say, he wanted to get it fixed.
He did. He was about to get it fixed. Yeah, actually, he was, and it's a sad part of it, but, you know, it is what it is. Before we get to the very wrap, though, I just want to mention, did anybody see India Oxenberg on Good Morning America?
No.
Yeah. Catherine Oxenberg's daughter, who was in NXIVM. I mean, she was in the heart of NXIVM.
Yeah.
She was in the DOS. She got branded with Keith Raniere's fucking initials.
Very mad
she
at her mom.
She banged him then, huh?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, how'd you know she banged him?
She was in DOS.
Did you have to bang him in DOS?
Yes.
Does everyone in DOS bang him?
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
how many women are in DOS? Was.
Nine, I think.
Oh, was it only nine?
I think so.
Because I think they
said they banged it, other women that were in different aspects, but DOS was totally a fuck fest.
They were saying at the end that he was having sex with 15 to 20 members at any one time, generally speaking.
Oh, God.
And I don't know why. I didn't know DOS had been around long enough for him to fuck every member of DOS.
Yeah.
But the idea that India Oxenberg would have sex with him, I don't know why that just... Catherine Oxenberg's beautiful daughter, it just made me sick.
Say what you want about that monster. He had good taste in women.
Oh, he did. No, he absolutely did. And you know what?
I think the main girl in The Vow is just beautiful. Sarah, I can't remember.
Oh, she's gorgeous. She's hot.
Just the one best ass.
So, did she have sex with him?
If she was in DOS
and she was married.
She got branded.
I know, she did.
You know what? Maybe she wasn't fully in DOS.
Well, that's why I wondered about India Oxenberg, because I figured that she didn't have sex with him.
Yeah, maybe not.
You're talking about Sarah Edmondson?
Yeah.
She's gorgeous. She's really pretty, and she's a smart girl. And, I mean, I know these people feel so stupid for being part of this, and it makes me feel bad for them.
You like what you see, huh?
But, you know, on the subject of the women being attractive, when you see these meetings and you see Vanguard speaking, the women are very attractive. They're all very attractive. They're all very in shape. They're all very thin.
Well, that's because he kept them on low calorie.
Yeah, they have low calorie. If you are in a self-help group and you have to ask your master to eat 90 calories, I think you should probably get the fuck out. Man. I mean, isn't that pretty? Or if they want collateral from you to show that you can be trusted, they demand nude pictures of you, deep, dark family secrets that would humiliate any member of your family if they came out, and maybe signing over the mortgage of your home to someone. I think they can't be trusted. I don't think you should trust them.
I really admire the discipline of texting someone every time you wanted to eat something.
What? I mean, honestly,
as a fat person, if I want to eat something, I just eat it. I couldn't imagine going, oh, wait a second.
I mean,
Drew, can I eat something?
You would think.
And then waiting for your reply?
Well, R. Kelly, can I poop?
No, I know. That's true. But, yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's what people, I was going to say great people, incredible people like Vanguard are able to get people to do. And that's why I always said, I really want to know how he did this, because he was able to get all these hot women who would never have sex with him to have sex with him. So it wasn't like he held a gun to people's heads.
Don't be jealous that I've been chatting online with babes all day.
I'm not trying to make him sound like I like him or but I'm.
You've always admired parts of him.
Strangely impressed.
Yeah, plus good. Yeah,
and he also got all that money out of all that those people. They all openly, happily gave their money to him.
Plus, he's easily the best server in volleyball in Albany.
Yeah, and not to mention the fact that he used his volleyball skill to impress people about his physical prowess when he was a slob. I mean, isn't that? There was no other sport he could have possibly done that in.
I do admire the fact that he can just talk in nonsense and just say nothing.
I know.
For a long...
Endlessly.
Long, believe me, I try. It's really hard. But he just talks in these weird, benign parables about things.
It's,
people eat it up.
It is just amazing. So, India Oxenberg, her mother's Catherine Oxenberg from Dynasty. If you're older, you might remember that. She's
so hot.
Just beautiful. And she also was royalty because she's related to the British royal family. And I just, because of her role in Dynasty and because she's royalty, I just figured she's got to be the biggest snob. But she comes across really nicely on The Vow. I thought she seemed like a wonderful lady.
I think my favorite part with her is when she's with her mom, who's a princess.
Yes.
And she's talking about trying to get a hold of her daughter and how they weren't on the best terms.
Mm-hmm.
And then her mom's like, now you know how it feels, because I guess she did not get along, didn't talk to her mom for a long time.
20 years.
It was just kind of that dynamic was really funny. And she admitted, yeah, okay. No, you're right. It was the same.
Yep. It was like her punishment. So Catherine Oxenberg is also kind of a self-help lover. Yeah. And so she joined with India because of Vanguard's superior intelligence, or at least that's what India thought. So Catherine very quickly is kind of like, I don't think this is for me. But the daughter goes in full scale, and she said that Nexium quickly tried to break the bond between her mother and her. Implying that, you know, oh, well, your mother's this, your mother's that, and you better not talk to your mother anymore. And, you know, any self-help group that tells you who you can talk to and who you can't talk to, that is such a sign. You know, that's what Scientology does. So parental alienation apparently is a big part of Nexium and part of the grooming. And India Oxenberg, it turns out, spent $100,000. She gave them $100,000 over time to stay in the cult. And she was the one, they point out this morning, they had texts of her, you know, Master, may I have 90 calories?
Oh, God.
No one needs this much help. No one. And her collateral nude photos and, you know, so anyway, she had sex with Keith Raniere. And it was a seduction assignment she was given as part of Nexium. To show that she could seduce Vanguard. But then she had sex with him repeatedly. Ugh. Because she felt she had to, or her family secrets would be revealed, or her nude pictures would be released.
Oh, that sucks.
I know. It's just so horrible.
Now, Sarah, on the other hand, was like, yeah, release my nude pictures. I don't care.
Well, that's what Catherine Oxenberg said. Yeah. She said, I don't care. There's nothing about me I care about, because India at one point felt that I have to stay in this because I'll screw up my family if I don't. And so Catherine told her, no, you don't have to worry about that. And they got her involved with some deprogramming. She had to be deprogrammed by some experts.
In the vow, I don't know if you paused it when they were showing Oxenberg, Catherine Oxenberg texting with her.
Yeah.
And what they were talking about.
I didn't pause it, no.
So it was about, you know, you never bothered to visit me while I was up here. And she's like, I'll visit you right now. I'm telling you, get away. She's warning her. She's like, get away from there. The feds are involved. Like, she's basically telling her things she probably shouldn't be telling her about. Like, get away from there. Stuff's going down. And she just
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. She, well,
I think she did get out before, because she didn't end up in Mexico with the rest of them.
Oh, thank God. She was 19 years old when she joined.
Jesus.
So that was perfect age. But the last episode of The Vow, which is a great series, and anybody can watch it because it's on demand on HBO. Mm-hmm. Well, not anybody, but probably chances are you can watch it. And I noticed when they were showing the classes on the most recent one, mm-hmm. and they invited the girls in, they said, oh, expose the girls to this really, you know, horrific men's class, that the women were all quite beautiful. The men were not. Yeah. Did you notice that the men were not hot at all?
No, those men did need some help.
They did. But wasn't that a sign, the fact that the women are gorgeous? The men are all shapes and sizes. Some of them are ugly. Some of them are bald.
Women were attracted to the authenticity of the words coming out of Vanguard. So.
Okay, so here's an ethical question for you guys. Let's just say that some website, some horrible person
does I'd look.
Great job of hacking. Would you look at the nudes?
Yes, of course.
Brandon?
The Fappening confirmed that, yes, I will look at any naked photos just for the show purposes. If I didn't work for the show, no way.
No. I'd look at it for pure interest, and I'm a bad person. I admit it, and I need some self-help. Is Vanguard still doing classes?
I'm sure he is.
I'd look at just from the interest level. And
here's how I feel.
They're beautiful women.
You know what? I heard Howard Stern saying he wouldn't look at Fappening pictures. Have you heard people say this?
Is this some virtue signaling?
Yes, it was. Absolutely, it was. I hate that term.
Was his wife hacked?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I wasn't proud of myself, but yeah, I looked at him.
Well, by me looking at him, it doesn't make the pictures go away.
But you're encouraging it to happen again.
I'm not.
Yes, you are. It's more eyeballs.
Did someone make money because I looked?
Huh?
Did someone make money because I looked?
Oh, yeah.
They did?
Yeah, well, depending on those sites, yeah, but they all have ads.
Off my one view. I mean, what, 10 cents?
Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how much they're getting
paid. How much could one view actually make? It didn't cost me any money. I didn't pay any money. I mean, not that I'm trying to justify it, but...
So am I.
I'm just not sure what is harm. I mean, it's just something like anyone even cares about being viewed nude anyway.
I know.
Anymore.
See, that's why I look at them. It's just to normalize it so people know that it's not a big deal to be nude.
Yeah, I just do it for show prep. That's it.
You don't like the idea of normalizing it for these celebrities to be crazy and nude everywhere? It's a good thing.
I mean, when Paris Hilton's tape was out, then, yeah, it was, I could see why she was upset. But
well, it made Kim Kardashian, too, that her video.
All right, I want to hit the outro, and we'll have some Mike Clark festivities after the show.
Yeah.
And I will thank Carl for showing up with some Who Are These Podcast material. I guess we should call it something else here. Drew Are These Podcasts.
We got to start working on Who Are These Porn Stars of Hawk. Maybe that's where he went. Maybe he went to go work on some...
That's just a brilliant idea. I just think he'd be in so fast, too. There was something else I wanted to mention. Oh, yeah, more sizzling Rebel Wilson pictures.
Episode 1 is already in the can.
Oh, great.
Oh, he's got one in the can.
Wow, that's
awesome.
Fast talk. Rebel Wilson is not sizzling.
No, there were sizzling pictures of her. I don't know how sizzling she was. The pictures were sizzling.
Subscribe to my Patreon.
Oh, your patron? That's patron. But Rebel and her 29-year-old boyfriend, Jacob Bush, the heir to the Bush fortune, were, and I quote, heating up Mexico.
Jesus. Well, how did they find them to take the pictures?
I know. It was not a selfie. Someone took the picture for them. And by the way, I hate being this way, but she's in a one-piece, and she's not sizzling at all. It's not sizzling.
All right, would you look at her fappening photos?
I wouldn't go out of my way. I don't think. I don't. Would you?
Sure. Why not? I'm trying to normalize.
She looks a lot better. I'm not. Why do they have to act like she's so fucking hot now? She's 6 pounds away from her goal, and her goal is 165. It still seems a little heavy for her. Just saying. Anyway, we'll catch you tomorrow. Thanks to Carl from WATP. Who Are These Podcasts? And thanks to Terrence from Lucky Strike. Luxury Strike.
Sawed one of his right leg bones, the tibia, nearly in half, and realigned it by wedging in donor bone.
Okay, now, was this a total knee replacement or a reconstruction?
No, it was a bone realignment, osteotomy, but the tibia, that's a big bone. Yeah, sawed it in half?
That's that bone right here.
Yeah.
I had that thing... That motorcycle crash, I'd broken that thing right in two, and it was sticking out through my leg out in the open air. That's all that. See all those railroad tracks?
Yeah. Yikes.
You know, all there?
Well, isn't it nice that we have a leg that we can compare, that we can use for our demonstration to...
Yeah. See, they load that wing. I got the Red Wing in.
What's that scar from, Mike? That big-ass one, yeah.
That's where the ground, the concrete, literally wore away all the skin as I was like rolling head over heels, that it went right down to open muscle, and that thing was wide open into the inside of my legs, and my jeans were inside that thing. Jeans were inside my leg.
Whoa, why would they do that? Along with all this, it was kind of painful.
Yes, it was very painful. It was all this gravel inside my leg and everything else, which is why they thought I was going to lose my leg for the longest time.
Whoa, why would they do that? I think it was kind of painful.
Oh, it was so painful, you have no idea, Anna. But that tibia was cracked clean in half, and the fibula was broken. The femur, the other one, was broken. Yeah, Mark.
I've never seen it. I'm so excited.
Well, Mike never wears shorts.
Now, for good reason, don't you think?
Well, I don't know. I could get used to that.
Really?
It's when you tell the story that it becomes horrible.
I'm very self-conscious about it.
Just get some sun on it.
I don't know. See, but that's
tanning booth.
Oh, it's all right. That's the
backside that's really gross. Just get some sun on it.
Just get some knee-high socks.
We can take it.
You see all that
Scarjo.
Yeah, wear knee-high socks. That'd be classy.
Where the tibia came out of there. Wow.
You start a new fashion trend with knee-high socks.
Yeah.
You know, the black socks like Darren wears.
Yeah.
Darren wears black socks and black tennis shoes, and it's actually a look.
But isn't that weird how that skin is just
You should be proud of that.
Very weird.
It's a battle scar.
Oh, God.
Hey, now,
that's why I don't want to wear shorts with that. But I just feel really self-conscious.
Now, you've never told us how this accident happened. Was this accident your fault?
Actually, I'll take a little bit of blame because I was going too fast.
It is a good story. Great story.
I was going too fast, you know.
Yeah, I mean, how fast?
I was going 50 miles an hour. I was in Rochester Hills, and it was off Tinkin Road. There's a little entrance called King's Cove, and if you're ever around there off Tinkin, on the north side of Tinkin at the bottom of the hill, you were driving by there, you could check out the accident site.
What kind of motorcycle?
I had a Honda 450 at the time.
Ooh, a 450?
Yeah, it had balls.
That's a big cycle.
That was a nice machine. It really was. I really enjoyed that a lot.
Have you been on a cycle since, by the way?
No.
No. No. Never again.
No, I never really did. You know, I was always worried about it because they always told me, if you break that again, chances are you're definitely going to lose your leg. Because they said the thing of it is that now that it's closed up, you know, to go back in there might start up infection, you know, because, you know, God knows what's still trapped in there. But anyway, I went into that subdivision back in there. I dropped off this guy, and I was on the way out. I was going 50. That's way too fast, so that was my fault. And it's very narrow. There's a little bridge there with a little river underneath it. And then there's about a 90-degree turn to the road that then goes to Tinkin, opens to Tinkin. So I took that turn at 50. That put me close to the center line,
yeah.
Even though there's no center line designated. Mm-hmm. Another guy, meanwhile...
Don't write me a book, kid.
Well, meanwhile, another guy had entered the subdivision in a big Lincoln Continental.
Oh.
He was going a little fast, and therefore he was close to the center line with his car.
Is it too late to sue him, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
It is?
Yeah, way too late. Way past the 7 years.
Oh, come on.
I know. So, in the process, they did figure that his left front end was a little bit over the imaginary center line, mm-hmm. had there been one.
Okay.
And with me being close to that center line, so what happened is...
Didn't you see him, though?
No, because it happened so fast. When you're exiting the subdivision, it's a blind turn.
Okay, I got you.
So as I came around the blind turn, boom, he was there. Oof. And the front end of that Lincoln struck the bike right in the left front, right in the turn signal area.
Oh.
And it served to... And then I flew maybe about 70 to 90 feet in the air. And then landed. And I still remember being in the air. I actually remember seeing blue sky and color.
People usually don't remember that part of a terrible accident. I know they don't. You remember that.
I know. It's really weird. And I just remember going, I'm in the air. This isn't good. And actually thinking that.
Wow.
And thinking like, this isn't, oh, God, sooner or later I'm going to land. And it was just like these colors going by. Then all of a sudden there was the impact. And then there was just color going around. Blue, brown, green. And just going around and around.
As you're spinning mm-hmm. over and over. Oh, God.
And I finally end up coming to a rest, sitting up, almost to Tinkin now at this point. Really just about 5 feet from Tinkin.
End up!
And I looked, and Drew, my leg just below the knee was pointed 90 degrees. My shoe was over here.
Oh, and you're looking at it?
Yeah,
you're
I was looking at it.
Ouch, bloody.
And my leg was like this. It was like this.
Oh, my God. Oh, sideways.
Sideways, completely sideways.
Why would they do that? Don't you think it was kind of painful?
Yes. And at that point, I really thought it was just
Did you pass out? Did you pass out?
Yeah, then I just remember at the time I was working for the meat wagon, my boss came down. I still remember Frank Santangelo was just looking at me, and he went, Mike, is that you? And I was like, yeah, Frank, it's me. You know? And
oh,
so my own
man.
Boss picked me up. And then off we went. And then at that point, I hardly remember anything, but apparently it was an x-ray forever. And then the surgery, and they were trying to desperately save the leg for days, you know, because it was so loaded with gravel and dirt and everything else. Plus the extent of
that's disgusting.
Yeah, the injuries.
It's like having the most grim story of your life being filled with drops.
Yeah, it was a grim story of my life.
It really demeans it.
Yeah.
It really takes it down a notch.
Yeah, it really did. So the thing of it was, naturally the tibia wouldn't heal. So they had a non-union fracture. Eventually, they had to take a bone graft. And
be careful. You're not going to be able to talk over medical center theme for much longer.
Seven surgeries later across 3 years and I don't know how many years of physical therapy, and I am what you see. No, I got it in.
You just got to tan that thing. You wear shorts? There's no reason you can't wear shorts.
Totally great.
He's got great legs.
Herman Dan Dierdorf can get in, too.
Totally crazy.
He's got great legs.
Great legs I do not have.
Dan Dierdorf can get over a medical center. That's really weird. Dan Dierdorf and Dr. Smith.
There's only two.
Well, that's Dan Fouts. Okay. I don't know. Dierdorf might be able to get over, too. You mentioned Quick Change, and Quick Change, I saw them at the Pistons game before they were ever on America's Got Talent. They do a Michigan. Was that Jim Bentley with an ooh?
You saw them back in the days. Huh?
I didn't mean it as any like great thing that I knew them before any of you assholes. I knew Quick Change way back.
I knew them back when they were nothing.
You know, it's really funny. There's probably someone out there who's actually pissed that Quick Change are so big because he knew them when they were just little Quick Change.
Yeah.
But they did the Palace and the place went nuts and it was
Yeah.
And then I saw him at the Michigan basketball game. I was like, I just saw these people. Yeah, they're going to change in like 2 seconds. And at the end, she's going to do this thing where she throws all this glitter, or he throws all this glitter at her, and she changes.
Yeah.
And it's like, woohoo!
It's amazing.
But then they're on America's Got Talent. And, Pierce's rant on them was absolutely true. What was different the second time you saw him? It was always the same.
I loved it. I couldn't get
it. I kind of liked it, but I mean.
I did. And he pissed me off because, wasn't she crying and everything? It was like, oh, man.
Yeah,
Piers.
Well, the Quick Change guy turned into like the quick asshole, like Quick Change into an asshole. He got so pissed.
Well, he was getting faced pretty bad. I thought they were very entertaining.
But seriously, do you want to see them like if they were on every night at 7 o'clock? How often would you watch them?
Oh no! I would go see their act and then I'd be done with it. I wouldn't
really
make a habit of seeing them every. Every time they came to town, I wouldn't go see them or anything.
Okay, wait, time. I got to get this straight. You mean to tell me if Quick Change were playing at the State Theater, you would buy tickets and go down and see Quick Change?
Today, now? No. No.
But, I mean, a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago.
Let's see. If
you would not. I'm not going to live with this one. You would not pay money to see Quick Change.
If you were performing in your bathroom and you had to take a dump, you wouldn't go see them.
If you had to take a dump, he might.
Yeah, maybe.
If I was younger and in great shape and everything, I'd probably pay to go see him.
Really?
Shape. What, are you trying to impress him? Hey, check it out, guys.
Great shape. Look at my abs. Quick change.
I don't feel like parking and walking. Your group. I don't feel like walking 5 miles to the theater and all this doing all this stuff to go see them.
Okay, if we had a limo for you... And they were going to just drop you off to see Quick Change and pick you up outside the theater. Would you go see Quick Change?
No, actually.
Okay.
It's free, though. It's free.
No, I wouldn't. No, the more I think about it, I wouldn't. All I'm saying is when I watched them on TV, I thought they were entertaining.
On TV?
I guess it's that
simple. TV.
When I watched them on TV, I thought they were entertaining.
You haven't seen them in person like Drew has.
Apparently, it must go to hell, though, when you see them in person.
No, they do the same thing they do on TV.
The biggest face in there.
You don't like them at all?
No, they're okay. The first couple times, it's like, oh, that's kind of... Well, no, it's neat. What they do is neat.
It's amazing.
It's a really unique... But if you knew the secret, you'd probably go, oh, my God, is that stupid?
Oh, well, like every sort of magic trick. Once you know, it's like, oh, God.
But, I just don't get that excited about, oh, my God, she's wearing a blue dress. Oh, she's wearing a green dress already. Oh, whoa.
Yeah, but I mean
doesn't do that much for me.
How did they do that?
Well, but I mean.
Why don't you change so fast?
But it is incredible, the speed, like that glitter, how quick she switches into that. That's pretty, it's a split second.
It's kind of cool the first time.
You've
seen it a couple times, and you really Quick Change on an hour. Holy crap.
No.
Oh, that glitter thing.
No, when you're Trish.
Come on, we're Trish.
No, they didn't do the glitter thing.
Not when you take it to that level. Absolutely not.
The idea that you're the biggest Quick Change fan.
Yeah, you're like a Quick Change groupie.
Yeah.
A Quick Change head. You follow him everywhere.
You guys are going to love this Quick Change. She usually goes green to blue dress but this time she goes green to taupe.
It's like the Grateful Dead.
That's the first time Quick Change has opened up in red and switched to yellow. I've never seen that before. Yeah. Can you believe that?
Usually they're closer. Why is she opening with it?
Yeah, when I
it's crazy.
When I saw them in St. Louis, they didn't do that. when I saw them in Branson.
You're right.
And you can dance.
Very controversial. It works.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
I'm waiting.
Get into the groove,
again?
Do you remember the video?
For Get Into the Groove?
Yeah.
No.
It was Desperately Seeking Susan.
Oh, clips from Desperately Seeking Susan?
Yeah,
is that
just,
what it was?
Yeah, I just remember the one where she's in the bathroom and she dries her armpits with the hair dryer.
Oh, God, yeah, gross.
It's like so burnt in my head whenever I hear this song.
Well, my problem with that era is the those black and white photographs where she's completely nude with that black armpit and that huge black hairy bush.
Are you talking about the sex book or just the ones that
got
released?
No, the one that that guy took it early on. Yeah.
It seemed like after the sex books when she went and started
lying. Those are sort of the corresponding, the female sort of Joe DiMaggio. If you think about it. Those two, if they had lived together and the era had worked out properly, can you imagine every drain in that home would have been so clogged? Roto-Rooter would have been over there every day.
Yeah, she looked good when she was young.
Yeah, you know, why didn't I have sex with her and I had an opportunity? I mean, here I was going to the same high school. She was a freshman coming in. I was either a junior or senior, I can't remember.
Do you know anyone that nailed her?
No.
Not one. Was she known
to
be a little?
Who?
You know me.
Shut
Come on.
You never told me that.
Yeah.
How was it?
Didn't everybody really?
Well, it pissed me off because she had a little bit of a reputation. I mean, she was a cheerleader.
I can't believe she was a cheerleader. Still doesn't fit her.
Oh, I know.
I mean, from an attention standpoint, it does. She would always need the attention. That would be the only way at that point in time. But, God, just...
Yeah. And she was a little spitfire, too. She had a lot of... Yeah.
Spunk.
A lot of blinking vinegar. So to speak.
Both ways.
Yeah.
I want to see their routines.
Yeah. I could have had her. Yeah, right.
What did you see any of their cheerleading routines?
Yeah, no.
No?
I never did see it, but I spent a lot of time with Christopher, who, as you recall, was wiping down her nude body. After her performance, I used to wipe down her nude body.
Her sweaty breasts. He said her breasts were sweaty.
Her entire body was sweaty. Was rolling down her stomach like a waterfall. And I was just at the bottom with a bucket and a sponge and several cherry cloth towels because they're so absorbent. I was able to immediately, the towels would absorb the endless sweat that was pouring out of her pores.
Did you have to pat dry her armpits?
Yes, I like to pat dry her armpits. She didn't like vigorous rubbing.
Yeah.
Because she said it turned her skin red, so she demanded that I would pat her dry, which I did. Not to mention her region, which captured a lot of the moisture and held it, which was a little off-putting when one is on their knees wiping down her legs.
I'm waiting.
Very close proximity to a rather shocking visual.
Oh, Christopher. Yes,
I spent many, many hours wiping down her nude, sweaty body after performance.
Christopher does a wonderful job as Madonna's as her personal dresser and binder, and he keeps her clean as well when it's a sponge bath.
That's right.
Or if you can talk or take a shower, that's really preferable, but not always possible.
Not only did I wipe down her sweaty, nude body, but I also recommended all sorts of architectural ideas I brought forth to her. I brought several architectural ideas to her. She was able to incorporate into her many homes. I was responsible for most of the decorating. You've seen her house in Architectural Digest.
I have not seen it yet.
I did that.
I think you get your edition a couple days before I do, because I've never seen that story.
I did that in addition to wiping down her nude, sweaty body.
She asked you to decorate their home.
Yes, she did. And I did it. And I did it with bells on. I made myself available at the drop of a hat. At the drop of a condom, I was there.
Okay, Christopher. Congratulations. You did a great
Thank
job.
Thank you.
And by the way, I would have never known she had sweaty, saggy boobs. Were not for you and your disclosures in that Madonna book.
Well, you know, she's hated me ever since that disclosure.
She hates all of us.
She doesn't speak with me. She'll have nothing to do with me. She thinks I've capitalized on her fame.
Were you going,
what a bitch. Why didn't I do her when I had the chance? Oh, I didn't have the chance. I couldn't have done her.
Yeah, you could have.
Yeah, maybe.
You don't know that.
I could have taken a run at it at least.
Yeah.
At least I could have said, I tried, and she told me to F off.
What if she could have fallen in love and
what if
missed out on her giant career?
What if?
Because she was with you.
You know what? She would have dumped me before she made all that money.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I wouldn't have ended up with a cent. You're She'd right. have dumped me in the early New York days.
Yep. She would have left you for New York.
Yeah, she would have.
She would have left you with a VD.
Yeah, yeah.
New York.
Yeah.
That was a very big what if.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the biggest very what big. If.
God.
Very big.
Damn, I wish I'd at least gotten it slapped across the face by her. Something.
How many times did you really cross paths with her?
No, oh, maybe...
Because there were a handful.
Directly, with, you know, looking right at her, a foot away from her, 5-6 times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. Because of
you had your chance.
Her brother, right, who I've said a million times over again, that I knew in high school. And we used to go over to her house, and she would be there. But I was just silly Tony's friend, so I didn't matter.
But that's why you do matter, because you're the older brother's friend.
Yeah. God, Mark.
You just didn't want to risk your relationship with Tony.
Tony Chacon has a very special relationship with Mike.
What would Tony have said?
Why would you risk something like that?
The special relationship. The UK and the US have nothing on Mike's and Tony's special relationship.
Yeah.
Tony. Tony Chacon.
Tony would have probably
Tony
said,
Chakotay.
Have at it, dude. Have at it. I don't care. I don't care if you do my sister. Just don't tell me about it, dude, because it's gross.
I don't think those brothers got in the way of much action there. I don't think there was.
No.
They're usually they're Italian, right? Yeah.
Oh, of course,
they're Italian.
Oh, are they ever?
Extremely Italian.
Oh, yes.
Usually in an Italian family, you will get some pushback from the brothers, like, you stay away from Madonna. But of course, in Tony's case, you stay away from Madonna, my sister. How dare you? I'll kick your ass.
Well,
after I pound it myself, I will boo-foo you. Literally.
Oh, man. Oh. Yeah, I could have had the whole family. I could have had Madonna, Christopher. Christ. I could have gone crazy.
It would have been easier.
Yeah.
You had a shot at another one of her sisters?
No, just Christopher. I could have taken a shot at him. At least maybe I got some money out of the interior decorator.
I hate this song. I spanked that, by the way. Just spanked it.
You did.
Yeah, I love Bonita.
I like this song.
I always hated this.
You don't like this song?
I like some of her other ones. I just hate this.
Like,
I don't know why.
I love Bonita. The beautiful one.
Is she getting into a car right here or something?
Probably.
Is that possible? A convertible? I like this song. I don't know why.
Love this song.
I feel like if I were to go to Bahamas, I'd want to jam this.
So in one ear, out the other.
It's yeah, it's. It
I don't
is
know
really,
why.
Isn't it really trite?
It's an island
and
feel.
Simple and.
Well, yeah.